much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey! 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 You idiot!
Start over.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Don't think I forgot, let you slide, let me ride, just another homicide. Yeah, it's me, so I'm a talk on, stomping on easy streets that you can walk on. So strap on your cubs and hat your locks. Oh, look.
Absolute pure genius! Fabulous! Stand up and applaud! This one is top of the charts! Ah, that is exquisite! That is orgasmic, Mozart-like. It's just pure perfection. Beautiful. All the chemicals are bubbling, and all the equation comes out right in the end.
And now...
I wish I prepared something. I did not even know I was doing this. Hit it.
Our feature presentation.
Rave reviews, Lisa, for your rapping skills.
I saw a little bit on Twitter. I'm pretty proud, I have to say.
At least now we've got a backup. If, God forbid, Snoop Dogg ever dies, at least there's somebody who's ready to step in and take out the crowd.
Well, yes. And I think I'm going to start performing on the weekends just because the people want it.
How can you not?
Right.
There's so much pent-up demand out there for a tour. You've got to take it on the road.
I think so, too.
Oh, I love that so much. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show, folks. It is a Monday. It's the 23rd of January. Kind of takes some of the excitement out of the start of the show when Kevin has already phoned in sick, so we don't have that that thrill of not knowing whether he's going to make it on time for the beginning of the show or not.
I know. Doesn't he know the rules?
It's a little bit disappointing now.
Do that.
We're not expecting him to come crashing through the door any second now. So what's the point of that?
And the mugs can't do his really bad drunk Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. How was your weekend, Lisa?
It was good. It was real good. Too much football.
No,
too much
never.
Football.
Never.
Not enough football. Only 2 games. Are you kidding me?
I was at my boyfriend's house, and he was very excited about the Patriots. And then, you know, the San Francisco game came on, and mm-hmm. I wanted to see Downton Abbey.
Well, of course.
Which starts at 7.
Right.
And then that stupid game went into overtime, and then it was 7:30, and I said, I got to go home and go to bed.
But that overtime was so awesome, though.
I wouldn't know. Went home and went to bed.
You left. When the game went to overtime, you said, I'm getting in my car and I'm going. You,
yep.
You were that invested for all those hours and still didn't stick around to find out who won.
Well, you know, when I say I was watching football,
you were in the room knitting.
Couch. Yeah.
Right.
I was doing other things. I look up occasionally.
It was some amazing football. And you talk about it could have just as easily gone either way for either game, too.
True.
You talk about how close we came to having a Baltimore-San Francisco Super Bowl. That could have just as easily happened.
Yeah, that is true.
Insane. Well, we'll talk about many more things having to do with football coming up. First, though, here's an unbelievable story. Unbelievable to me. Maybe this will sound right to you guys. They're building a new high school in Utah. It is a town called Draper, Utah, and it's Corner Canyon High. It is opening in 2013. So they are starting to get, their ducks in a row for opening. And one of the things that they did was they polled future students about what they would like the football team and mascot to be. Because, you know, you're starting from scratch with a new school. What are we going to be? You know, we're going to be the Pirates, we're going to be the Tigers, we're going to be the Raiders. What are we going to be? We've got to come up with a name. Well, they did a poll of future students. You know, these are students who are going to other schools that would be going to this school once it opens.
Mm-hmm.
And the name that came out number one, top vote getter, was the Cougars.
Okay.
Cougars, by the way, already a very popular name in a lot of schools, including Brigham Young. That's their team. You know, that's a big college in Utah, and they've got the Cougars. Of course, Washington State has the Cougars. I think there's a Cougars in Houston, too. Very popular football name, right? Well, they considered it and decided not to give that name to their football team and choose the Cougar as the mascot because too many parents called to complain that there was a negative double entendre of the word cougar.
Oh, come on.
And that they were offended by the name. And they thought
no.
It was inappropriate as a sports team name because cougar has the other meaning of middle-aged women who like to have sex with younger men.
When you said cougar, it never crossed my mind for one second other than the animal.
Yes. You know why? Because a cougar is an actual animal because it's a tiger or it's a lion or it's a panther. I mean, because that's what a cougar is. That's what a cougar has been for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. It's only very recently that other name has kind of come up that is popular with some people. Like I said, about the 45-year-old who's looking for a 20-year-old for a Friday night.
I am just stunned. So, and I bet it's only like two parents or something. And they're like, oh, no, we can't do that now. We've had complaints.
Well, according to USA Today, there were many calls
from
parents and others opposing Cougars because of the double entendre of the word. Is that crazy? Have we lost our minds?
Yes, we've lost our minds. But now they should be the Panthers. Because that's a great name.
Well, they're going to be the Chargers.
Mm, okay.
Now, isn't somebody now going to complain? Yeah, but people use their credit cards too much, man. They charge too much, and then they get broke, and that's why America's in trouble, dude.
That's right, man.
I mean, you could complain about anything if you wanted, but
Cougars,
what's happening here? What's happening here? They must have been so happy when Cougartown got canceled, or did it? Is Cougartown coming back?
I don't know if it's coming back. Poor Cougartown's been on the bubble for like a year.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that is a true story, by the way. It sounds like a Saturday Night Live sketch that somebody's making up to poke fun at political correctness. But in fact, people complained because the animal name cougar has another meaning and they didn't think it was appropriate for their kids.
That is beyond stupid.
All right. All new Kevin and Bean show straight ahead. Let's take a look at what's coming up.
Okay, I suppose that's how they say good morning in Cuckoo Town.
Well, I don't know about that. Wheel of Bad Animal Voices on the program today.
Always good.
How sad that Kevin's not going to be here to be upset by that.
I know.
We also are going to be talking about, Ralph did a story last week about Jennifer Lopez has a boy toy. She's dating a backup dancer like she do, and I think he's in his early 20s. Hey, is Jennifer Lopez a cougar, by the way?
I guess
I would.
Is she
old enough to be a cougar?
Yeah.
Anyway, apparently he gets walking around money. He gets an allowance from her. I think Ralph said, what, $10,000
a week,
was it?
Yeah.
So that he can pay when they go out, because otherwise he has to ask her for money because she's the one who has it all. So it's been a lifelong dream of mine to be a boy toy. I mean, that's what I've always hoped for one day, is to be a man who's taken care of by an older woman who just is using me for my body.
Some dreams you have to give up at some point. You know that, Bean.
Those jobs are very difficult to come by for men my age.
Yes, they are.
Because women old enough to make me their boy toy are so close to death right now, that's the last thing they're thinking of. But we're hoping to talk to some boy toys today. We want to find out what it's like if you are a young man who is a kept young man. If you have an older girlfriend who is paying you just to date her, because I think that would be a fascinating life.
Or
I'm
just
so interested.
Paying for everything, essentially, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. That's your job.
I have one of those.
She
pays
have for
one
everything,
of those.
Does she?
No.
Well, clearly not, because you
more than you.
Yeah. you have a job, Mug, so clearly not.
Yeah.
Right? Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the program today. Speaking of football, we'll talk to our friend Andrew Siciliano, who I believe was at the 49ers game yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I believe he flew up for the game. Our old friend Chris Hardwick, mm-hmm. former K-Rock DJ Chris Hardwick, now worldwide famous as The Nerdist with his podcast and his stand-up. He's got a book out now. He'll be in studio to tell us all about that as well. Ralph's going to be here with the Showbiz Beat. That's coming up next right after this on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
I told them all the little gangsters, who you think helped mold them all. Now you want to run around and talk about guns like I ain't got none. What you think? I sold them all.
Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins from longtime contributor and listener Edwin. He writes in, tell me what you think about this idea, Ralph.
Edwin?
Edwin.
Oh,
right.
I'm sorry.
Like everyone, I love Lisa's rapping, but I think we need to come up with her rap name. How about LL Cool May?
Yeah. Oh,
the LL Cool stands for Lick Lisa. That's pretty darn good, right?
That's a
pretty strong.
Great name.
LL Cool May. Edwin. Well done, my friend. I love it. It is.
She won't rap any more than she would if we didn't give her a rapper name, though, right? I mean, we don't run any danger of her like rapping more if we give her a rapper name.
No, I rap exactly the same fabulous amount.
Okay,
I have to give Lisa all the credit in the world. She didn't want to rap, but she did it because we asked her to.
Yes,
and she gave it her all. She was committed to it. That's what was awesome about it, because she was terrible, but they didn't stop her from being committed to it.
Yes.
You don't
want to be terrible and then timid.
The people did love it, but we've trained our listeners to love the bad. That's
well,
how
that
we stay on
point.
The air.
Yes.
So it's not always a good thing when they love what you do, I've found it.
It's an excellent point. All right, 5:52, Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with our very first look at the Showbiz Beat for a brand new week. What the hell is going on?
Gung Hei Fat Choi!
And to you as well.
Gung Hei Fat Choi! Gung Hei Fat Choi, everyone.
Why not, Bean? This is America!
Happy Happy Chinese New Year.
You're the dragon.
Oh. You're the dragon. I keep writing rabbit on all my checks. Can't believe rabbit just flew by. Seems like it was just Christmas. Now rabbit's gone. You're the dragon. Congratulations to all of our people who celebrate Chinese New Year. I'm a dragon. So this should be my year. I was born in the year of a dragon. So they say when it's your year, you know.
Yeah, it's your year.
Supposed to be good things happen to you every 12 years?
That's right.
Yeah.
No. Good things happen all the time, but especially on your year. What are you, Bean? What year are you? You know?
I don't have any
I'm
idea.
I'm guessing rat.
That's me.
You're a rat, Lisa?
I'm a rat.
Lisa's a rat!
I don't know what I am.
Mug, what are you? Do you know?
No idea.
No? We'll find out, man. If you don't know what year you are, you're screwed. Look what happened to Billy Cundiff.
Exactly.
He didn't know what rat year he was, and now look at him.
Did you see his post-game press conference, Ralph?
Yeah, poor bastard.
What did he say?
No excuses. I just blew it.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I've kicked 1,000 kicks. Some of them go up, some of them don't. That's what happened. I got no excuses. There's no defense. It just happened.
Yeah. I felt so bad for him.
Oh, him too. That poor Williams kid who was fielding punts for the 49ers. Dropped that punt. Oh, man. Can't imagine the pressure those guys are under and then how they feel when they screw it up. Ah,
and especially since there's 49 other guys around you who are all giving you the stink eye.
Yeah.
And what do you say? What do you say? There's nothing you can say. Sorry. That's not enough. Sorry doesn't get the job done. If you're not going to the Super Bowl because of you, that's not enough.
Yeah. That's not I bumped into you in the supermarket.
Right.
But great games yesterday. Andy Dick, our friend Andy Dick.
Guilty.
Probably. I don't know what he's charged with, but he's got some problems.
He's a mess, right?
Last week we talked about the fact that he roughed up a tourist.
Yes.
Because they tried to take his picture. Now things are getting worse. Apparently last Tuesday night he got into a verbal argument at a bar, moved on to a different watering hole, approached a very attractive woman, onlookers say, then started to break into tears and sobbing in her arms, trying to hug her.
Oh my gosh.
Later, he was spotted hitchhiking on Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, no.
Oh, Andy.
That's so sad.
Oh, Andy.
When he goes, he really goes.
Yeah,
he
sure does. Kobe Bryant's wife, Vanessa, in the news. Just been announced that she will get all three of their houses in upscale Newport Beach, California.
They have three houses in Newport?
Yeah. She's getting all of them. And $75 million in cash. Which is half of their estimated fortune. There's no prenup between the Bryants, you see.
Yeah.
And so she's entitled. That's quite a payout.
It doesn't seem, I know it's the law, but it doesn't seem fair to me. Doesn't seem like she should be.
Well, she won
able
the championships. You have to remember that. She passed him the ball, right? She passed him the ball when he was shooting it.
No,
but
not at
But it was. What? I know, it's craziness.
Give her a little something.
Yeah, don't let her go away empty-handed.
But let's not discount the fact that she has been living a luxurious multimillionaire's wife life for all 10 years that they've been married.
Yes.
You know, it's not like she's got nothing out of this.
She has enjoyed the fruits of his labor as
well.
Yeah.
And I would be saying, this isn't an anti-woman thing, I'd be saying the exact same thing if this were, you know, somebody going after the rich woman's. I mean, at some point, I think there should be a cap on what it is they get. I really do.
I agree. More relationship gone bad news. Mark Anthony is getting the word Jennifer that he's got tattooed on his wrist.
Mm-hmm.
Getting some little artwork put over top of that.
Here's the thing, people.
We've talked to you about this time and time again. Don't get another person's name tattooed on your body. Unless it's your child.
Yeah.
That person will be with you forever. But Jennifer was on his right wrist. He got the Statue of Liberty tattooed over it. Word is that's to celebrate his freedom. See?
Oh, jeez.
He's free, finally, from the tyranny that is Jennifer Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are going to get somebody's name, shorten it. Don't go with Jennifer. That's a lot to cover. Right. Go with J-Lo.
Exactly. You can turn that into something else. You can turn that into Jell-O. You can show your love for Jell-O on your wrist. And since we're talking about Jennifer Lopez and American Idol, since she is the judge of that show, this Brittany Kerr, this is the girl, Bean, that you and I were talking about last week. She is the dancer for the Charlotte Bobcats NBA team.
Yes. Oh, that's who she's with. Okay.
Yes. Just stunning. Smoking hot.
Right.
And she has made quite the splash since she auditioned on the show. Now, I'm surprised because I thought it was just mainly gay dudes and little girls who watched that show. But apparently, a lot of heterosexual men watch it as well because her management company says they were forced to shut down their website because servers were crippled by the onslaught of traffic of people looking for information about Britney.
No kidding.
A photographer named Jim Merrill shot a bikini shoot with her, and he also had to do the same for his website because people were finding links to it and going there and crashing his website.
Wow.
So, wildly popular.
We never got to play this tape last week on the air, Lisa, but here's how the audition process went for Britney, who, again, is an NBA cheerleader. She stepped up.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Very good. What's your name?
I'm Britney.
I say yes.
Okay, so they voted her on through.
Yeah. He was more than willing to vote her right away. Sight unseen.
Steven Tyler, of course, plans to have sex with her at Hollywood Week, so he said yes.
Yeah, she's attractive. Not a great singer, but
a great singer at all.
But okay. Okay enough.
I didn't watch the Thursday night. I, of course, didn't watch last night either, Ralph. So I've been off so far.
Ralph?
After that first night.
I watched the first one. I was like, I can't do it. I just can't do it. Life is too demanding. Too much going on. Excuse me. And congratulations to Marg Helgenberger of CSI. Her last show airs tomorrow. She's getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning.
Huh. Oh, nice.
On a rainy day. That's kind of BS.
Yeah.
Outside of Musso and Frank's on Hollywood Boulevard. So if you're a fan of hers and you want to stop by and see the proceedings, apparently William Peterson, her co-star from the show, will be there. His star is about 2 stars away.
That's nice.
Dana Delaney and Georgia Fox will be on hand to help with the unveiling as well, so you can check that out. While we're talking about stars, this Saturday night at 8 o'clock, just want to remind people, if you want to go, I'm doing my evening with Adam West, where we're sitting down on stage and talking about his life and career as we celebrate the fact that he's going to get his star this year. Finally, you can go to tickets to thelovitz.com if you want to get tickets for that. We're almost sold out, so if you want to go, you may want to move on that.
Hey, Ralph. This is Adam West.
Oh, hey, Adam. How's it going?
Even I am getting tired of your talking about me.
That hurts. That hurts. I got you a star, you bastard. Where'd he go? Left. Today's celebrity birthdays, Richard Dean Anderson. You know him as MacGyver. He's MacGyver. Not Magruder, but MacGyver. 62 years old today. Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa celebrates his 59th birthday. Anita Baker, the singer, is 54. Mariska Hargitay from Law & Order. SUV. I don't know why she drives an SUV. It seems to be a gas government. 48 years old. Tiffany Thiessen, formerly of Saved by the Bell, now currently can be seen on White Collar. She is 38 years old. Nick Harmer of Death Cab for Cutie's 37. And UFC fighter Tito Ortiz celebrates his 37th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Adventures of Rain Dance Maggie, California. That's Red Hot Chili Peppers on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Hey, don't forget, this is the week we're sending you to Australia to see Incubus. Yes, destination number 4 of K-Rock World Tour 2012 is Incubus in Sydney, Australia. Got chances for you to win all week long, starting at 9 o'clock this morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've been talking about it for a long time, Lisa, but clearly now the momentum is building that there's no way that Khloe has the same parents as Kim and Courtney, right?
Yeah, once it was questioned and then we've always known that she looks completely different than her sisters. But once the possibility was brought up, you're like, absolutely. Why didn't I think about that before?
And I know that there are examples of families where all the kids look alike except for one. And everybody always jokes about, hey, I guess that was the mailman or something like that. But weird things happen genetically. Sometimes traits can skip a generation. Sometimes it can just show up. You know, you get a recessive gene from your grandparents. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's really going on here. But I just know that Kim and Courtney are identical to each other. And then Khloe looks like a big giant Chewbacca.
Yes.
They have different, you know, completely different faces. You know, she's got that like smashed up pug face and she's obviously about 200 pounds heavier and different skin color. So there's been a lot of speculation about the Kardashians because they demand it because they're in our faces all the time. But the National Enquirer has really blown the story wide open with a cover story last week. An O.J. Simpson bombshell. I'm Khloe's real dad. O.J. Simpson is Khloe's father. Robert Kardashian, who was on the legal team that got him acquitted for that murder back in the 90s, is the father of the other two girls. So says the National Enquirer. The shocking truth about O.J. on Kardashian mom. They are speculating that Kris Jenner had an affair with O.J. and Khloe was the result.
Fascinating.
I mean, look, I've heard crazier things, but we wanted to find out if this is even possible. We know that the Kris Jenner and the girls have all been denying it. They've been joking around and denying it on Twitter, but nobody has spoken with OJ since we have, and we're going to get him on the line right now from the Las Vegas Correctional Facility and find out what he has to say about these shocking new claims. OJ, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How you doing?
Well, we're fine. It's been a long time since we talked to you, man. What have you been up to?
Well, I'm the juice.
Yeah.
Right? You are the juice, right?
I'm just hanging in there, having a good time.
Uh-huh. I heard your house got foreclosed on while you're in jail. You're losing your home in Florida. Is that true?
Yeah, they do tend to take your property. Yes.
Yeah, when you don't pay the mortgage, right. And then, is this bad news or good news or you don't care? What about this National Enquirer story that you had an affair with your friend Robert Kardashian's wife, Kris Jenner, and now you guys have a baby together known as Khloe?
Now, come on, guys. Keep it in perspective that this is the National Enquirer we're talking about.
Right.
Okay? They're always trying to blame me for stuff. First, I killed Nicole Simpson. Then I held somebody up at gunpoint to get my stuff back.
Right.
And now, the worst crime of all, they're trying to blame me for Khloe Kardashian. I mean, okay. Why are they always trying to come after poor Juice?
Well, I think all of those things that you mentioned are things that you did, though, OJ, is what it's looking like. Anyway. No.
Listen, I've done some bad things in my life, okay? Try to blame me for Khloe Kardashian, that's just mean. That is just mean-spirited, I think. I'm already in jail. What more do they want from me?
Well, I should have warned you, OJ, before you started saying those things, that I have a little bit of a surprise for you. She may or may not be your daughter, but we have Khloe Kardashian on the other line. We've been able to patch you through so that you guys can be reunited today here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Khloe, are you there?
Daddy, how are you?
Oh no,
Daddy, I miss you. Hold on a second. I'm not your daddy, okay? I knew your mom, Chris. I knew your dad, Robert. I may have done some things to your mother in the heat of passion, but I'm pretty sure I'm not your father. Well, let's get some DNA, get this settled, because I miss you, Daddy! Daddy!
Khloe, is this, I mean, would you be happy with this if you found out that OJ was, in fact, your father? Because, I mean, you've always spoken so lovingly of the man you thought was your father, Robert Kardashian.
Listen, Robert Kardashian was a fine, fine man, but this would explain so many things. This would explain my skin coloring.
Yes, you are darker than the girls, yes.
This would explain my body type. Mm-hmm. This would explain my love for fine cutlery. And this would give me an explanation that I've been searching for my whole life.
So do you? Would you like to have a relationship with OJ, Khloe? I mean, is this something you're going to like start treating him like your father?
Absolutely. I'm going to come visit him in prison. I'm going to bake him a cake with a file in it. I'm going to do whatever they do when people are in prison. And we're going to have a loving, loving relationship.
OJ, you happy to have new family then?
Is it too late for me to get the death penalty?
I just saw this unbelievable list, Lisa, about the reasons why some people have requested refunds at a movie theater. And I don't think we've ever talked about this before. The only time I've ever asked for a refund to leave a movie theater was when there was a projector problem. I think it was one of the Kill Bill movies that I went to see, and it was so blurry that it was just painful to sit there and watch. And I thought, at this point, it's ridiculous. I'm just going to come back or go to another theater and see it where I can actually see it, right?
Yes.
Technical problems. But this article is about people who get refunds, request refunds for movies because it wasn't what they expected or they didn't like it. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine going to see a movie and going, I didn't care for that. I think I'm going to ask the movie theater for my money back.
I'm a little surprised. I would not expect that, actually.
Would you ever do that? Or would you just say, well, buyer beware. I chose to come see this movie. It's on me.
Yeah, I would think that. Now, I would ask. I haven't. But like if there was a screaming baby that wasn't being handled or something like that, that might send me back to get my money.
Yeah, that's
something
not your
like
fault.
That, but not a bad movie.
Listen to this. A group of moviegoers in the United Kingdom, thank God they can't pin this one on America yet, although I'm certain that it's happened in the United States too, has been demanding refunds after going to see The Artist because they were unaware that it was a silent movie.
How do you make a decision to go to a movie and do zero research? Like, do they just go, oh, that's a good time. That fits. I'm standing here now. Let's go see it.
That's the only thing I can think, because if you're going, I mean, I would think that most people who go see The Artist, particularly now, are aware of what it is. I mean, the thing has been pretty heavily advertised. It did win the Golden Globe, and it was talked about, and a lot of people, you know, I mean, it has been a movie that has gotten a lot of press over the past few months. It's an homage to silent films. There is no dialogue in the movie.
But maybe that's the thing, that they just hear, you know, somewhere that The Artist is being nominated. It must be good.
Right. And then they go.
That's all they go on. But still,
and by the way,
it's on them.
I would think so, too, but apparently this isn't one or two. Apparently this is a lot, to the point where movie theaters are posting signs all over the world that say, hey, this film contains no dialogue. It's shocking to me. I would be embarrassed to go up to the box office and say, hey, give me my money back. All right, listen to this. We talked about this when it happened at the time. This was a real life. This was more than just I want my money back. This was a guy who filed a lawsuit, if you recall, in Michigan, because he had seen the trailers for Drive, that great Ryan Gosling movie about the getaway driver. And he said he was under the impression, based on the trailers, that it was going to be like a Fast and the Furious, like a chase movie. Remember, he sued because he said there was not enough driving in the movie.
Right in the title, Bean. It's called Drive.
It is called Drive. Why is there not more driving? Why is there so much sitting around? So he filed a lawsuit. All right. By the way, Beer Mug, how about you? You seem stupid. Have you ever asked for your money back for a movie that was...
Actually, I saw The Benchwarmers in 2006.
It's not a good movie.
I mean, it stars Rob Schneider, so there's one strike against me already. But I literally was like... I was even stoned out of my mind, and I was sitting here like, wow, this movie sucks. I left halfway through, and I went to the box office. I was like, yeah, could I see another movie, please? And they exchanged it. Absolutely. I was like, I can't watch this movie.
But wait a second here. Why did you think it was the movie theater's responsibility because you had bad taste in which film you chose to go see?
Well, I figured that I'm a paying customer, and if they want my return patronage, they would do what I say.
It's not them. They were just being nice, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's great customer service. But the movie theater is not at all responsible for what film you choose to go see.
Well, they're not, but they were cool.
So you took advantage of them being cool.
Why not?
It's by the way, that's America showing that piece of crap.
That's 100% on you. By the way, yeah. I can't even. If I don't like a movie, it's not the movie theater's fault. I'm the guy responsible for. You know, maybe it's bad surprise, but it would never be their fault that the movie was bad.
Well, they know.
I wouldn't think.
They know that, but they, like I said, they want me to come back.
All right.
Here's another movie that has received more than a few people who have asked for their money back. Tree of Life, the Terrence Malick film, which, by the way, is on almost every critic's top 10 best films of the year. But it is also, now I haven't seen it yet, but it is also a very strange movie in that it does not follow a linear narrative approach. This is one that stars Brad Pitt. And then it gets all weird and goes off into the, you know, have you seen it yet, Lisa?
I haven't seen it, but I've certainly seen Terrence Malick films, and I plan to see it, but I also know I'm probably going to have very mixed feelings about it.
Apparently, a high number of people have walked out of screenings, have been bored and confused, and many have demanded their money back. And one theater in Connecticut even posted a sign that said, hey, this is not a narrative approach to storytelling. You know, be aware before you go into it that this is honked up. Basically,
you might have trouble understanding this.
That's every David Lynch movie, too, by the way, for the last 25 years. I mean, if you're getting your money back because something's hawked up, then, you know,
right.
Don't go see David Lynch. Here's another one. And I thought this was interesting. The Devil Inside, which is that movie just 2 weeks ago that had that huge box office. Remember, $35 million opening weekend.
Oh, yeah.
It was terrible by all accounts.
Except Kevin,
who loved it, raved about it.
And got other people to go because he loved it. And then they came back and said, are you kidding me?
And that's why God has struck Kevin down with an illness today. That's why he's not here, is because he went to see The Devil Inside. I mean, it was, by all accounts, a horrible movie. CinemaScore, which is one of these movie rating websites, they talk to audience members. This has nothing to do with critics. This is people who have gone to see the movie, gave it an F. That's how bad the movie is.
Man.
But apparently what really upset people about The Devil Inside was the ending. Apparently it just had one of those like crazy rushed, like, I can't believe that's the end of the movie. People started shouting, rip off. Lots of people apparently screaming for refunds as a result of seeing the end of The Devil Inside because they thought that they had in fact been ripped off.
But what is a movie theater supposed to do? I mean, people wanted to see that movie.
Right.
So they showed it.
Exactly. It's not the movie theater's fault. The movie theater is being very cool and a-holes like Beer Mug are taking advantage of that. All right, two more talking about films that people walked out on. This is a hilarious story. Also true, we reported this at the time. The guy who went up to Tom Hanks at a gas station when they were both buying gas and said, hey, I went to see Larry Crown and it was terrible. Tom Hanks pulled the money out of his pocket, paid for the movie for him and his date, said, we'll do a better job next time, and drove away. Now, that's pretty awesome when you can actually go to the guy who directed and starred in the film and complain that the movie's no good.
Yes, because that guy made money.
And finally, yeah, right, exactly. And finally, and this one is almost understandable, an entire theater in Chicago was given refunds when, for some reason, a 34-year-old naked man was sitting in the front row during a recent screening of Alvin and the Chipmunks Chipwrecked.
Oh, my God.
No idea what was going on, if he had some sort of a chipmunk fetish or what he was doing naked in the movie theater, but the movie theater went ahead and issued refund vouchers to everybody in attendance. And I think maybe in that case, it's understandable,
yeah,
right?
Good
choice. If you got a naked guy in your theater, maybe that. But if it's just a Rob Schneider movie, suck it. It's on you.
Yeah, come on.
Your problem.
Coming up, Rob's got the showbiz beat for us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then we're going to be looking for you if you are a kept man, if you are a boy toy of an older woman. That's my dream job. What's that like? We want to hear from you in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, here's a tragic story, Lisa. It's always sad news when you see somebody get stabbed.
Yeah.
This is three stabbed in Greene County, Virginia. The stabber is five. Now, yeah. that's what makes headlines these days. Five-year-old boy stabs three in fight over a juice box. Well,
oh my God.
Juice boxes are really good.
What would you stab him? Like a regular knife?
Well, in the article, it says an edged weapon. Sources are unable to say whether or not that weapon was a knife. Apparently, the boy stabbed two children and one adult. This will not surprise you, in a mobile home park.
Oh.
So now there's a lot of speculation as to, I mean, what do you do? I mean, clearly the kid has issues, but you don't, I mean, you can't arrest the kid and send the kid to jail for, you know,
no,
like you would an adult, right?
Intense therapy and all cutlery must be kept away.
Well, I have many questions about this story and many questions about this young man. So we asked producer Dave if he could line somebody up. And sure enough, we got Bobby Cartwright, who is five in Virginia, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Bobby, how are you?
What?
It's Kevin and Bean. We talked to your mom and dad. We talked to your mom and dad about you coming on the radio to talk about the incident with the police the other day.
Yeah, my mom and dad. Yeah, yeah, like they're around. I don't take orders from nobody, man.
Bobby, what happened with the juice box? Whose juice box was it, and what made you decide that you were going to take it by force?
It was my juice box, man.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's somebody else's, it's my juice box. Because this is my trailer park, you see? My trailer park.
Okay, but what about, I mean, haven't you been taught about sharing, and haven't you been taught about...
I shared my shiv. I shared it right in their guts.
Gee.
Okay.
Who's that woman? Who's that woman talking?
My name is Monica.
All right, Monica, you're next. Shut up.
Okay, I don't know that in the shape that you're in right now,
Monica,
with the law.
Really, Monica?
She doesn't want you coming after her, Bobby. I think you can tell what's happening. Yeah. Don't you think, though, with the trouble that you're already in with the police, that maybe threatening other adults with injury is not what you should be doing right now?
It's only a threat if you don't follow through. Then it's action.
Okay.
So it's not a threat. It's a promise.
They went to some
you
of your neighbors.
You want Bring it on. Come on.
No, nobody wants to fight
I'll
you.
I'll take your juice box, too.
Bobby.
I'll take your Sunny Delight, if you got any.
Nobody
got
wants.
Sunny D? I love Sunny D.
What is this obsession with juice?
Because I'm thirsty, bitch.
Well, look, why can't you have your juice and I have my juice and we get along and be friends?
Because I want all the juice.
You can't
That's how
have
you get by in this world, man. You got to get juice. And you use that juice to get power. And you use that power to get the women.
Okay.
They're not
Why
talking
are you
about orange juice when they say you need the juice.
What do you know, Monica?
Bobby, why are you so angry? How have things been so bad for you at 5 years old that you have this terrible attitude about the world?
Because, man, I've been out there on the streets trying to make it, man. And the only way to do that is to take what you want. And that's what I did. I said, hey, what do you got there, apple juice? I'm taking it. And I took my Lego knife and I shanked him.
It's a Lego knife.
I made a knife out of Legos.
Well, that's
just
true.
Just like you do on the inside. You got to use what you have to make your weapons. You know what I'm saying?
How do you know about the inside? You've never been to prison.
Hey,
what do you know about prison?
I've had timeouts. I know what it's like.
It's not the same just sitting in the corner in the mobile home park, though, as going to prison. So they talked to neighbors of you, Bobby, to find out what it is that was going on with you. And one of the neighbors said, I've always seen him ride his bike around. He's a happy-go-lucky little dude. That was someone who was surprised to find out what an anger problem you had.
Yeah, that's right. I'm happy-go-lucky. As long as everybody plays by Bobby's rules, then everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be cool as long as you do what Bobby says. You understand? Because Bobby's
okay.
The king.
I think you've got a very, very sad life ahead of you unless you get some intense therapy like Monica was suggesting and maybe learn how to play well with others here, Bobby.
All right. What? I got to go. I got to take a nap.
Oh, okay. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, you weren't in the room we were talking about. You ever asked for your money back from a movie that you thought was bad?
I don't think I ever did.
Yeah. Crazy. You go see the artist and you don't know it's a silent movie. Who are these people?
I'm trying to think if I've ever gotten my money back from a movie. I think maybe I've gotten like in-store credit kind of things where there's been a technical problem with sound or something, and then they give you a coupon for a free movie when you come back or whatever.
Right.
I don't think I've ever actually got taken my cash and said, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Well, I've been hearing from lots of people who work at movie theaters who say it happens all the time.
Oh, I bet. I bet there's a lot of beer mugs in the world who think they're just entitled just to dictate the policy of how it works. Oh, just give me money, even though I saw a bad movie because I'm bad.
It was more of an exchange. It was more of an exchange, and they were willing to take me up on it. So there you go.
Right, but they still lost money on the deal because you didn't have to pay to go see that second movie as you ordinarily would have. You're the dumbass who chose a Rob Schneider film and then wanted them to pay for it.
Well, they lost money in the short term, not in the long term, because I'm a returning customer.
Okay. And that's how mugs justify it.
That's right.
All right, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday Kevin Amin Show. What's going on?
Well, it doesn't look like many people asked for their money back for Underworld Awakening. It was number one at the box office this weekend. $25.4 million made it number one. Right after that, Red Tails, in its debut, made $19 million.
That's the Indian porn movie, right?
No, it's the story of the Tuskegee Airmen.
Oh, wow, not as good.
No, about African-American World War II pilots, made almost $20 million at number two, which is good news for George Lucas. You know, George spent all of his own money to make this film.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Paid for everything, top to bottom, even to the prints, to get those developed, and Fox is distributing it as sort of a favor to George, but no one was interested in investing in that film when he made it. So
well,
it's one of those
them.
One of those Mel Gibson deals where he will make all the profits for this film.
That's such a surprise to me just by the fact that it's George Lucas and you would go, here's a guy with a track record, you know?
Yeah, a great story in the New York Times this week where he says he made the movie with his own money. He said, well, I'm sure someone's going to want to come in. Someone's going to want to distribute this for me and I'll go partners with one of the major studios. So he had a screening for his new movie and a lot of people didn't even show up. And he said, I'm George Lucas. If I show you a movie I made, shouldn't you at least want to come and see it? He was very frustrated.
Shouldn't Star Wars and Indiana Jones be enough to at least get you through the door?
Yeah. So Lucas said he's quitting the business, basically. Has announced his retirement this week. No more movies. He said he might, give the storyline or help write Indiana Jones 5. And if there's any Red Tails sequels, he said he'll sort of executive produce those. But he's not going to make any more movies anymore.
He seems to be pouting, Star Wars movies, because he said everyone bitches at me,
so I'm not going to do it.
He's kind of pouting a little bit. He doesn't like that he gets criticized when he does something, right? Yeah. But that kind of comes with the territory.
Contraband was third at the box office. Incredibly Loud, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close was fourth. Haywire, in its debut, needed $9 million. The new Gina Carano action film. Beauty and the Beast 3D was sixth. A Joyful Noise was seventh. Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, and The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo ran out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, this is a movie. Do we really need to see this? Does anybody want to see this? Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Reynolds on the big screen together?
No.
I don't find either of them appealing.
Really? You like
I
that?
Do like her.
Every time I see that Denzel Washington trailer, and they ran it a million times during football yesterday, I go, ooh, this looks good. Oh, wow, Ryan Reynolds. It takes me right out of it.
They are going to co-star in a movie together about Walter and Margaret Keane. Are you familiar with the Keanes? They're a married couple who did paintings in the 60s that became a big hit. They created those pop culture paintings of the kids with the oversized eyes, those big saucer eyes, like the little girl holding the kitten and all that stuff.
That was theirs.
And this is coming from Beans.
I know.
Tim Burton is producing the film, so there may be some creep factor in it, but they did those paintings with the kids and stuff with the big saucer eyes.
Interesting.
So now we get two people starring a movie about something I don't care about.
Where's the outrage there?
Where is the outrage? How about Wayne's World 3? Would you like to see that?
That'd be good.
Excellent. Dana Carvey and Mike Myers were reunited last February for the first Wayne's World sketch in 17 years. They did it on SNL.
And that was funny.
It was funny, and apparently it's made people think, hey, maybe it's time to get these guys together for another film. Dana Carvey said in an interview that he's on board if they want to do it. Mike Myers, he said, it's a pretty busy guy, but if he's on board, I will show up as well. And then he joked, well, maybe we can play them in their 50s. Wayne, my prostate's enlarged, he quipped.
So, what a surprise that Dana Carvey's available.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he would want to do that. And while we're talking about reunions, how about Two Live Crew getting back together again? Hello? Is this thing on? Come on, Two Live Crew!
Oh, yeah.
Luther Campbell! He says he's excited about bringing his group back out on the road for all the fans that want to hear Me So Horny, Band in the USA, Raise the Roof, Nasty as They Want to Be. Come on, guys. Who's with me?
Nah, I'm not with you. I don't
care. Ooh, Me So Horny, I love you long time.
That's an okay song, but I don't think the world is waiting for it.
Wow, Bean, why do you not like black people?
It's not
that.
Yeah,
why is it always the black people who can't make a living? Why is it always that?
Now, LL Cool May sings Luther Campbell's greatest hit.
Yes.
That I'm into.
Now, that's what I'm talking about. Congratulations to Anne Heche. She's got a new job. She is going to be on a comedy for NBC called Save Me. The show is about a woman who gets into a serious accident while recovering, starts to believe that she is channeling God's thoughts.
Oh, that's close to home.
It sounds like Anne Heche. Yes. Usually she's wandering in the woods looking for a spaceship, but in this case she's talking to God. So she's got that going for her. And Sherry Shepherd of The View and also of 30 Rock, she's got a new comedy as well. She's going to be on TV Land. Boy, they're cranking out the sitcoms over there on TV Land. She's going to star as the owner of a weight loss center. See? Because she's fat.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. She shouldn't be owning a weight. That's a, she sets a poor example for the people who are trying to use her service.
Where's the outrage there?
Where is the outrage? Apparently, she will co-own it with a best friend from high school. I'm betting skinny.
Yeah,
I'm guessing skinny. That part hasn't been cast yet, so we have to wait and see. And Miley Cyrus says she would like to play young Carrie Bradshaw in that Sex in the City prequel. You know, where it's just Carrie as a young filly.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And she's, isn't it? She said she was asked if she was attached to the project. She says she isn't, but she would love to play that character, so she's hoping that there will be some conversations in the future. This is my favorite part. She said the opportunity to play Carrie Bradshaw would be pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
She actually said that, so. Take a look today. Celebrity birthdays. UFC fighter Tito Ortiz is 37 years old today, as is bassist Nick Harmer of Death Cab for Cutie. Tiffany Thiessen used to be on Saved by the Bell. Now she's on White Collar.
How does she look these days? Right?
Looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't she go through a crack phase for a while where she was looking kind of rough?
No, Tiffany? I don't think that was her.
No, I think you're thinking of Yasmin Bleeth,
yes.
Perhaps.
Oh, is that who it was? Okay. Yeah. So Tiff has stayed strong.
Tiff. Tiff, as all her friends know her as, is fine.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it was Yasmin had the trouble.
Huh? Yeah. Mariska Hargitay is 48 years old today. Singer Anita Baker is 54. Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa is 59 years old today. Richard Dean Anderson, played MacGyver on the TV series of the same name, is 62. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as...
Black Keys on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. I said this last week, but every time I hear that song, it sounds like it came right out of 1985 at a Billy Idol album. I don't know why. I can't get that out of my head right now. We're going to send somebody to Germany to see Blink-182. We qualified you all week last week. We'll make that grand prize drawing this hour, and then starting today, we hook you up with Incubus in Australia. Why can't I be a boy toy, Ralph? That's
because
my question to you.
You are neither a boy nor a toy. A toy would seem to signify something fun that people would enjoy to play with.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And a boy would signify a younger man. And so you are neither boy nor toy.
I'm willing to step up, though, and give it my all. If I could find the right situation with an older, very wealthy woman, mm-hmm, who would be willing to take care of me, who would be willing to basically finance my life,
yeah,
for the occasional sexual favor, mm-hmm, to me, that sounds like the best job ever. Why can't I get that?
But for you, what is the deal for her? What does she get on her end? She gets to have sex with you? That's the upside for her?
No, Bean's going to give it his all.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't realize he was giving his all.
I'm going to step up. I'm going to work hard. If my job is being paid for sex, I'm going to take it seriously, and I'm going to work hard. I'm going to put in the effort. Look, it beats having to have a job, right?
How are you going to put in the effort? What are you talking about? What are you going to do to make yourself worthwhile?
I don't know. Whatever it is you do. What are you supposed to do? I don't know. I'm new to this. Tell me how to be a boy toy.
You saw the movie American Gigolo with Richard Gere? Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah, I guess it's been a long time, so I need to get me some suits.
Yeah, you got to get into shape. You have to wear suits, and you have to also be good looking. So genetically, you're already working from a deficiency.
And then you have to make the woman feel good about herself,
right, exactly.
Which isn't your forte either.
You have to make it about the other person.
Yes.
Can you imagine putting all of your energies and focus into someone that's not you, Bean?
If they are paying me for that lifestyle, yes, I can imagine that very much. Look,
no
I need apparently I need to find an older blind woman. Apparently, that's what I'm looking
deaf,
for.
More importantly than blind.
Well, the reason
talk all the time. Oh my God!
The reason this came up, and it is a lifelong dream of mine to be a boy toy. I mean, I've always thought that was best case scenario. Every once in a while, I'll see a story in the news where somebody is a kept man, and I think that is the dream job.
Your dream is dead.
I want to talk to people who have been boy toys. I want to talk to people who have had older, wealthy women who finance your life, and all you have to do is be available to them. That's what I want to hear
from. I want to talk to the women who have had boy toys. I want to talk to the women who are putting the money out there.
I'm fine with that, too. I like that, too.
Because every time we do one of these topics, like you were a male prostitute or whatever, you get these douchebags who go and say, yeah, the ladies love me, so I'm worth every penny of it. And we have to sit through those phone calls for 20 minutes. So let's hear from some women, too, who have spent the money.
Okay.
Maybe you've kept a man or two in your life, and you want to say why that's a better deal for you so you don't have to deal with all the BS of a relationship or something.
Here's a story that prompted this back to the front of my head, and I started thinking I got to get on this. Jennifer Lopez, who, as you know, recently divorced from her husband, Mark Anthony. They were together for a number of years, had a couple of kids together. Well, she's single now. She's 42 years old, and she is hooked up with a backup dancer like they do, who is 24 years old, named Casper Smart.
Yes.
Now, Casper Smart, in addition to being, and by the way, wasn't Kevin Federline was a backup dancer for Britney Spears and ended up being a kept man for a couple of years, too, then they got married, right?
Yep.
Casper Smart, I guess, dances for Jennifer Lopez, but beyond that, really doesn't do anything as far as I know. It's not like he has another job. His job is to be a backup dancer for Jennifer Lopez.
Right.
Well, now his job is, and according to TMZ.com last week, a job that pays $10,000 a week. His job is just to be available to bone Jennifer Lopez.
Well, it's an allowance. It's not like a salary. This is
what's
just
the difference?
He can carry the money around in his pocket, so when they go out, he can pay for dinner. He can pay, pay for the movies or wherever they're going. I mean, it's an expensive movie, $10,000 a week. But, but apparently, the problem was that he was starting to feel emasculated because she would whip out her credit card all the time to pay for everything everywhere they went. So now he gets to pay for it, but she's still enjoying the benefits of her
money.
And
the thing is, I don't care if it's a male or female. If you're starting to date someone who's got a lot of money and goes to really nice events and stuff, you have to up your wardrobe. It's a very expensive proposition, which most people would not have the cash for. So I'm
willing
sure
to do
some
it.
Of that money goes towards him keeping up appearances in that way as well.
Yeah, he probably has to go shopping and get some nice suits and stuff and everything so they can travel in style.
Oh, that does sound hard. That does sound like a tough life. $10,000 a week, and now the news story is that he is now, according again to TMZ.com, now driving Jennifer Lopez's Bentley all over town.
Well, you don't want to let that sit in the garage. You have to take it out for a spin once in a while just to keep it in top shape.
So one minute he's a poor, trying to make it in Hollywood, 24-year-old backup dancer, and the next minute he is living like a king with a $10,000 a week allowance. He's driving a Bentley, of course, everywhere. J-Lo goes, he goes, tropical vacations, whatever it is. He's 24 years old. This is his new life now.
Yes, but this isn't going to be his life forever.
Nope.
And when he lands on his head, this is going to be the saddest thing ever.
And plus, you don't get to bone anybody else at 24 years old. You got to realize he's paying the prices. He's kept literally in every sense of the word. So you lose a little bit of freedom, too, at that stage.
Yeah.
So
it
wait,
wouldn't matter to you, Bean, because you would have no other options anyway. If you found one woman to have sex with you, it'd be worth it. But this guy, great looking guy, great shape. He's a dancer. He could be out there playing the field and having some fun, as a lot of people do in their 20s.
So wait, he only gets to have sex with Jennifer Lopez? That's his only option? That is tough. I do feel bad for him.
You don't know what Jennifer Lopez is like at night when she wants a bowl of ice cream or something and, it's the wrong flavor and she starts bitching him out. You don't know what he has to put up with. No matter how hot a woman is, anyway, there's some guy someplace who's tired of her crap.
Well, but this is still early. I'm sure he's not tired of her yet.
But if he's basically a slave, if she's paying him to do whatever, you know she has the upper hand there, and she's calling all the shots, and he's got to jump through whatever hoop she puts in front of him.
Better not be mouthing
off. Exactly. Yeah. Who knows what sort of high-maintenance deal she has going on. Yeah.
But isn't that true of anyone in their job? I mean, he is that's his boss, just like our boss.
But who has to make their life their job? The best part of having a job is you get to leave it and go to your life and have some fun with the people you care about. When your life becomes your job 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that can be a drag.
So if you were 24 years old, you do not think you would enjoy this being your job, being Jennifer Lopez's boy toy.
Driving
around in her Bentley, getting the $10,000 a week, and going all over the world with J-Lo.
I had a blast at that age, and I didn't need a Bentley or $10,000 a week. I was poor, but I had a blast, and I wouldn't have traded any of that for a Bentley or $10,000, perhaps to give someone the power over me to tell me what to do, where to go, and how to dress.
We're looking for both sides of the equation. If you are a guy who has been a kept man, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. If you are a woman who has done the keeping, you paid to have a guy basically much younger than you who was available to you to satisfy your whims and your needs. We want to talk to both of you. 1-800-520-1067. Let's get started with AJ. He's that guy that maybe you're afraid was going to call, Ralph, but let's see what his story is. Joining us now from line one on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hi, AJ. What's going on, dude?
Hey, good morning, Ralph and Bean and Lisa May.
Good morning.
So you guys had a skating singles party back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
That was, 15, 16, 18 years ago?
What kind of singles party was it?
Roller skating.
Oh, roller skating.
Oh, I remember
that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when there was a group, sort of the boy and girl skate, I looked for the hottest chick, and there she was, and she was 11 years older than me, and we hooked up. You know, she wanted to be conservative, so she waited until the next day when we actually did the naughty. But we ended up going out for 2 years. I was living at home with mom. Why not? She had a nice ranch in Sylmar. I would go up there on the weekends and do her servicing, and she'd buy me whatever I wanted.
All right, so how is this different from just a regular relationship with other girls that you dated? What in your mind made you a kept man? Just that this was your full-time job? You didn't have another job? She just paid you to be available for her?
Nah, I actually had a job. I wasn't making a lot of money. She worked in the Hollywood industry, so she had plenty of money. So she paid for gifts and dinners and whatever. And oh, and here's a nice little trivia fact. Our very first weekend together, 11 times, right? We, sealed the deal. So my first job was to drive her to the hospital Monday morning. She had to have back surgery on Monday morning.
Because you wrecked her?
I was talking about 11 times, man. Destroyed her back. Take her to the hospital.
This is what a trooper Carrie was. In the hospital bed, she's recovering. She's like, hey, climb up here.
This sounds like a Ralph parody voice of the phone call that he was anticipating.
I told you, these are the people who are going to be calling in. I hope you're happy now.
Unbelievable. AJ, if any of that is true, thank you very much for the call, my friend. I appreciate it. What do you...
See? That's what I'm talking about.
Maybe we more want to hear from the ladies.
These are the guys who become kept men. That's what I'm telling you.
I could be that guy, though, right? Give me that guy who steps up to the plate 11 times in one weekend, puts you in the hospital.
You'd be the one in the hospital. My back got thrown out.
It's not that I can't.
Sorry, I gave you that hot 30 seconds, but now I have to lay down.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm stepping up to the plate 11 times. I'm in the car looking for the ballpark at this point. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Robert, you hang on. We are going to go to you. We're looking for your calls. Ladies, too, if you have been involved in a kept man situation like J-Lo and her backup dancer, boy toy, she's 42, he's 24. How's that work? We want to take your calls coming up next right here on the Kevin. Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins from Hector. I work in a warehouse in Anaheim. We get truckers here from all over the states. We had a Southern Belle one day that looked just like Large Marge from the Pee-wee's Big Adventure movie, plus 30 years.
Yes.
She offered one of my coworkers to move back to South Carolina with her and be a kept man. Look, I know you love the oldies, Bean, but that would not be worth the money that came with that work.
Yeah, Bean, that's what you need. A nice big trucker. Nice female trucker to keep you. Keep you at a trailer park. That's what you should have.
Talking about Jennifer Lopez and her 24-year-old boy toy that apparently she's letting drive her Bentley, and that's not a euphemism, literally drive her Bentley plus $10,000 a week. And I'm thinking, what a great job that is, being a boy toy. But how do you get a gig like that? So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Cindy is on line one. Apparently she's paid to have a boy toy. Ralph, this is exactly what we were looking for.
Yes, this is better.
Cindy, thank you so much for hanging on. We appreciate it. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, you guys? Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
What happened? What's the deal?
You know, in my particular case, I have been going through a divorce and just wanted something completely opposite of, stability and a marriage and all those things. And, you know what, I ended up with, you know, a boy toy. And, you know what, it's one of the best things ever. And it's exactly what J-Lo's going through. Like, it's exactly what she needs. Like, she's totally going to have, you know what I mean? She just needs somebody that's going to let her do exactly what we want to do. Like, I want to travel the world, and I don't want somebody that I have to, you know, have a discussion about where we're going with or, you know, how much money do we need. It's like, no, here's where we're going. I would love for you to come. Let's go, like, be naked on a tropical beach.
And you, you know? foot the bill.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. And, you know, there's a certain kind of guy that I think is willing to do it, which, you know.
Me.
Let's face it, isn't, like, the best guy on earth, but the most funnest guy at that point in your life.
Right.
Which is exactly
right.
What you need.
Yeah.
So
and, you know, you're not going to find, like, a strong, independent man willing to put up with this usually, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the only thing that ends up being negative is after a while it does, like, you know, after a couple years or, you know, even a year, it gets kind of old in the sense of, like, when it comes to a holiday and you're like, God, you know, it's Christmas today. And you're like, oh, he's not going to get me anything because he doesn't have any money.
You know? Right.
But it's like, but, you know, but, okay, well, let's go to, you know, Hawaii tomorrow. Great, perfect. Yeah.
So you, this is the path you went down when you said you got a divorce. How long did that last, or is it still going on?
Two years.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's about right.
I mean, and it was great, and that's what I mean. It's like, you know, after a while, you know, 2 years later, you know, it kind of got old in the sense I was, you know, where I was like, okay, you know, I make a lot of money, but you don't have anything, and it's getting tough with all your debt and stuff, you know?
So what did you do? Did you then just move on to a more conventional relationship with kind of a guy at your level?
No, I think it just kind of more so you just, you know, lose the guy and then just kind of move on with your life. Versus, like, you know, you kind of, you know, then you go through, like, more of a selfish phase of, like, I don't want any guy, like, you know, but when I do date again, it's more like he's got to be back, like, to my status.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Right. Well, fascinating. Well, I mean, it worked for you, and I'm sure the guy thought it was a great ride, too. I mean, that was probably, he'll look back on that as being the easiest 2 years of his whole life, I bet, right?
Well, you know, I think that they look back on it more as, like, yeah, you know, I lost this really great girl because I didn't, like, you know, treat her enough, which is exactly what J-Lo's going through. Like, this 24-year-old dude, come on, like, right? She's going to, like, keep him around until she gets tired of him.
How old, if you don't mind me asking, Cindy, how old were you? How old was your boy toy?
Actually, in my particular case, he was a couple years older than me.
What?
So, yeah, you know, I'm 35, and he was like 39 or something at the time.
How about that? That's not what you expect.
Well, you know what, though? Because, like, when you're a successful woman, like, going out with a guy that's, like, 20, it's kind of like, you know, guys at 20 are kind of douches. Like, they just want to go and party. It's like, they're not going to be, like, available for you. They'll, like, argue with you about it, whereas, like, an older guy, I think, is a little bit more like, yeah, we can do that. Sure, you want me to wear this today? That's great, you know?
So you had a man toy. You didn't have a boy toy.
Yeah. Cindy is fascinating. Now, Ralph, what's your read? You got a pretty good read on people when it comes to relationships. Is Cindy, like, super high maintenance? Would she be tough to go out with? You think she'd be all right?
No, she sounds fun. It sounds like she had a good time. But I'm always confused by why there has to be money involved, because women already have all the currency they need to get pretty much any guy to go anywhere they want with them, you know?
Well, but that's what I'm saying. But, like, you know, going on a tropical trip, like, if guys have their own money, like, they have their own money that they want to spend it on. Like, let's say they're really into, like, electronics. They're like, okay, I need the new iPad, the new Mac, the new whatever that's coming out today.
So it's about control. It's
like, I want to go. Yeah, it's totally control.
You're able to call the shots. I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
Plus, you don't have to worry about whether they can clear their schedule with their jobs or whatever.
Exactly.
You just, they go when you tell them to go. You say jump, they say how high.
Who knew being a 39-year-old loser would come in handy? But this guy actually was able
to. A little bit of time.
He made it work. Yeah, good for him.
Cindy, so glad you called. Fascinating stuff. Have a great day. Kevin and Bean Show, Eli Manning standing by. Boy, did he get beat up yesterday. How many times did he hit the ground, Ralph? It had to be a dozen, right?
He was sacked 6 or 7 times, I think, and then hit, another 6 or 7. So it was a rough day.
Yeah, and Eli generally sounds confused. I can't wait to see what he's feeling like today. We'll talk to him next, coming up here on the Kevin and Bean. The Nerdist himself, Chris Hardwick, joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock for a Monday. He has made an entire career. Nay, Lisa, he has built an empire out of just being a nerd.
I know. Pretty nicely done.
In his younger years, he was just picked on and made fun of for being a nerd, and now he's a worldwide superstar. So we'll talk to him about his new book that's coming out and how you can meet him coming up. First, though, let's talk some football. I know you saw more football than you ever hoped to yesterday, mm-hmm. but how could you not? Your boyfriend was doing the right thing by watching both games. Unbelievable. Billy Cundiff gets up there for the Baltimore Ravens with a chance to tie that game with 15 seconds left. Misses an easy shot.
Yeah.
And the Ravens had already fumbled a touchdown earlier in the game. They should have won that thing. So the Patriots are going. And then on the other side, it couldn't have been more exciting. 17-17, NFL overtime, had the 49ers versus the Giants. And then, of course, you know what that means.
With the score tied, And at the end of regulation, we'll go into overtime.
Yep.
There are special overtime rules in the playoffs. Both teams get an opportunity to possess the football with one exception. That one exception is that a touchdown always wins the game.
Okay, got
so
that.
So if the team that gets the opening kickoff scores a touchdown on their first possession, the game is over at that point. If the team that first gets the ball kicks a field goal, the other team will have an opportunity to possess the football, and then we are essentially in sudden death. If the first team that gets the football does not score, we will go into sudden death. The second team will then have the opportunity to possess the ball, and the first team to score, even if it's just by 3 points, will win.
Wait, what?
How? Timing rules are as if we're starting a new game. We will use regular timing rules.
Okay.
And replay, all replay will be conducted from the booth. The coaches do not have challenges.
The referees have to hate it when it goes to overtime just because they have to get up there and give a speech for 15 minutes.
Oh, it's hilarious.
The Giants ended up prevailing. Eli Manning is going back to the Super Bowl just like he was 4 years ago when he beat the Patriots. It's revenge. It's, uh-oh. This doesn't sound good. Eli, are you all right, dude?
Hi.
Eli, what's going on?
I'm Eli.
Yes, you are. Congratulations once again on being the NFC champs.
Yay, we won the Super Bowl.
Well, no, you're not going to. You're going to the Super Bowl. You haven't won it yet. You still have one more game to play.
What?
Are you in the hospital, Eli?
No, I'm working out in the weight room.
Hey, it doesn't sound like the weight room. It sounds like you're in the hospital.
I'm fine.
Dude, you got the crap knocked out of you yesterday. How many times did your helmet come off, for God's sake?
157 times.
I know you got sacked 6 times. You got knocked out at least twice that, but you kept getting back up, man.
Ow!
Yeah, that had to hurt, right?
No, I just took a breath.
It hurts that. What kind of injuries do you have, Eli?
I'm fine.
No, come on, you can tell us. You still got two. You got 2 weeks to get better before you have to play again.
Coach says I'm fine.
And how do you feel?
Ow!
Ow again? Yeah.
Big black men were trying to kill me.
Well, players of both colors were trying to kill you. Actually,
no, just the black ones.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah, big ones.
Eli, that was a very
important. They chase you and they knock you down.
Well, you know that. You're a professional quarterback.
I don't like it.
You've been playing this game for a long time, Eli. That goes with the territory.
I only play to make Daddy proud of me.
I'm sure Daddy is very proud of you. Have you talked to Peyton yet, by the way?
I want to be a florist. I want to arrange roses in a vase.
Something where you don't get knocked down,
I
huh?
Giant helmet anymore.
Yeah, what's going on? Why is your helmet so much bigger than everybody else's?
When they said you're going to be a giant, I said I better get a giant helmet.
Well,
that's what I ordered, and that's what showed up in the box.
You do have a ridiculously big helmet.
I lost the receipt.
So, have you talked to Peyton? Because, of course, you know the Super Bowl's in Indianapolis, where he lives this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Suck it, Peyton.
Yeah. I mean, you have a chance to win your second Super Bowl. He may never get that chance, depending on how his health is.
Oh, if I win two and he just wins one,
uh-huh.
I'm so going to say I won two and you won one.
Right. That would make you better than Peyton,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what I meant, better. That right. means Dad will finally love me.
Dad loves you fine. He's very proud of you, Eli.
He should be, because I'm in a lot of pain.
No. I'm sure you are.
You
Tell
don't
me
need a spleen, right?
No, I think you can live without a spleen,
oh,
but I think it's best
good.
if you don't have surgery 2 weeks before the Super Bowl,
no,
I hope.
I didn't have surgery. I just coughed it up.
Oh, I see. What about Tom Brady? Any thoughts on going up against Brady? You beat him last time 4 years ago. How are you feeling about this year?
He's pretty.
Right, but yeah. I was thinking in terms of just being an adversary.
He should have boobs.
Why should he have boobs?
Because he's pretty.
He'd make an excellent girl.
Girl. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. That'd be fun to play against a girl with boobies.
You're still not over that, even though you're married and have your own kids now, huh, Eli?
No, but I like boobies.
Well, boobies are pretty good.
Did you know that you can feed puppies with them?
Well, I mean, dogs can feed puppies with their nipples, but humans.
That's what it's for. Boobies are for food.
Right, but
that's
for human
baby,
for human babies, right? For the, if you like your wife, for instance, would breastfeed your child, Eli?
Yeah, or a dolphin.
No, not
yeah,
a.
Yeah, she could feed a dolphin.
No, what are you talking about? You don't feed
mammals.
I'm strangely surprised that Eli knew that.
Yeah, I watch Nat Geo.
I know you do. Yeah. Well, listen, Eli, we're very proud of you. Congratulations on going back to the Super Bowl.
Thank you. Can I stop after that?
Well, yeah, of course. After the Super Bowl, then the season's over. I mean, you're going to come back and play next year, I imagine, right?
I don't know. I'm tired of being hurt.
Well, you'll have.
I need a better job. Well, I want to be an Italian cruise ship captain.
I think you would be excellent and well suited for that job, Eli.
Me too. Everybody in the water.
Well done. I don't know. I kind of feel like Ralph. You may be booking the show this week. Is producer Dave on vacation? What's going on?
Why? Why do you say that, sir?
Well, tomorrow, Michael Cudlitz and Ben McKenzie from Southland are going to be here.
Yeah!
Sugar Rashad Evans on Wednesday.
Yeah!
Tom Beers in studio, who, of course, is the producer of Storage Wars.
Yep!
Also coming out on the program. I don't know. Just to me, it just sounds like it's a lot of love for you know, Ralph and his things there.
But listen, how good that show is. How good that week of shows is.
Yes, I know it's going to be outstanding.
I'm just saying, use this as an example. Say, how much better would the world be if Ralph ran everything? Then there's your answer.
Well, I don't know that I'm ready to jump to that conclusion. I'm just saying we have some Ralph-centric guests this week.
You know, you're right. You would not fare well in a Ralph-run world, B. So you're right to be scared, I think.
Because I'd be the first one put to death.
No, I'm not saying that.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, and thank you for tuning in here on a Monday. Ralph is here. It is time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Heard you talking about football with Mr. Manning there. Did you see Steven Tyler, one of the judges of American Idol?
Well,
giving a touching rendition of our national anthem.
An old woman sitting in the owner's box that they identified as Steven Tyler. I'm still not convinced it was really the guy I remember from Aerosmith.
How dare you? He rocked the anthem. Mm-hmm. He brought it all. He added some words.
Yes, he did.
He gave his own interpretation, which is good because you don't want that dusty old song just to be done straight. You want to sex it up. Here's a little taste of Mr. Tyler's version of the national anthem.
Can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars?
Are they booing?
No, they're cheering.
Fight. Oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
This is not good.
Here's where
right?
It's sexy.
And the rockets rang down.
Yeah.
Ouch.
As bomb bursting in air.
Or whatever.
Was still there.
Okay, that's enough of that. That's enough of that nonsense. Yeah.
Hey, dog.
A little pitchy there, dog.
A little pitchy, dog, right. He's 65 years old. That's what you get when you ask a 65-year-old to come out and sing your song, right?
Yeah. But he's in Boston. He could do anything. He could,
right.
He could have sang the Korean national anthem, and they would have cheered.
Just about to.
They love
it. And by the way, I want you to remember that performance when the new Aerosmith album comes out later this month, and it sounds pitch perfect. I just want you to remember the magic they can work in a studio with somebody.
He can sing his stuff. I just don't think he can sing other songs.
Yeah, that's apparently. A tough one to sing, too.
It's Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Underworld Awakening, in its debut, $25.4 million made it. So, Red Tails... In its debut, what are you laughing at? You think it's about butts? Is that what you think?
It's American Indian porn, right?
Think it's a spank movie.
That's my understanding. I don't know much about it. That's what it sounds like to me.
It's the Tuskegee Airmen, the African American World War II fighter pilots. $19 million made it number two at the box office.
A black butt movie. Wow.
Contraband was third. Extremely Loud and incredibly close. Fourth, then Haywire, rounding out the top five. Beauty and the Beast in 3D was sixth. A Joyful Noise, Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol. Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows. Remember the good old days when they would just put numbers after sequels?
So
you didn't have to spend a paragraph saying what movie you were talking about. I'd like two tickets for Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, with the one where he fights another guy and then Watson gets married, please. And A Girl with the Dragon Tattoo was number 10 at the box office this weekend. Judge Alex and Divorce Court have just been renewed for another two seasons. Who's still watching these shows in this day and age?
There's so many of them, too.
I know. Would you miss if Judge Alex went away?
No, I'm not sure. Is that a is he a man or a woman, Judge
he
Alex?
He is a man?
I thought it was woman, but
I want to say.
I don't know. I think it's unemployed people who are at home during the day now.
I guess. Divorce court features former civil court judge Lynn Toller, and that's in its 13th year of syndication.
Oh, my God.
Some people love the people of the show.
Judge Judy is still on. I know that.
Yeah.
I see her advertising it. And Judge Joe Brown is still on. I do come across that from time to time. And doesn't Gloria Allred have a show, too?
I did not know that. Does she?
I think she has a show. I think she has a show where she plays a judge, too.
Wow.
Not interested, sir.
I think they must be just inexpensive to produce. That's the only thing I can think.
I guess so. And Gung Hei Fat Choi, everyone, for all our Chinese listeners. This, of course, is the Chinese Happy New Year.
Mm-hmm.
Happy New Year. Year of the Dragon. As I mentioned, I am a dragon. Lisa is a rat. Beer Mug, did you find out what you are?
I did, Ralph, and I am a pig.
You're a pig.
Yeah.
I would have guessed Bean for the pig. I'm surprised.
I think Bean is, too.
Bean's a pig, too?
Bean's a pig, too. We share that in common.
Yeah, listener Paul Lee wrote it and said, Bean's a pig. All Chinese Americans think so. So I'm not sure if he understood the question I was asking or not, but Happy New Year, everybody. Let's take a look at the today's celebrity birthdays. It's on a piece of paper that is right here. Richard Dean Anderson, MacGyver, from the television program of the same name, is 62. Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa celebrates his 59th birthday. Anita Baker is 54. Mariska Hargitay is 48. Tiffany Thiessen, who used to be Tiffany Amber Thiessen, but she lost her amber. She is 38 years old.
Nick, we should send out an amber alert. Try to find her.
No.
What?
File.
File, yeah.
But, no, come on.
That's pretty good.
File. Hey.
I'll back you.
Nick Harmer of Death Cab for Cutie, 37, and Tito Ortiz, UFC fighter Tito Ortiz, 37. I'm Ralph Garman.
The emotion, too much for Tito.
Was that your choice there, Beer Mug?
That was me.
Oh, was it? Okay.
You're talking about Tito.
Okay.
But the emotion, too much for Tito.
Got that out of your system now? Are we good?
I do. I'm done.
Okay. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Chris Hardwick.
Hey, what's
up? The Nerdist.
It's so nice to be here again.
It's nice to have you back. Hey, listen, we have much to talk about with Chris.
Okay,
but
yes.
since I mentioned TMZ, have you ever woken up and found yourself on TMZ.com? Have you ever done anything since you've been a big-time Nerdist celebrity that has landed you on that particular website?
I do sleep with a series of monitors, much like the final scene of The Matrix, and they all have the TMZ on there, just waiting to catch a glimpse. I was on TMZ like once or twice. I went to the Grove in L.A. Where were you in L.A.? I'm sorry. me
oh,
no remember
Grove.
City me live in. And so they asked me some question about, like, can you get a zombie pregnant? And I was like, no, you can't, but just wear a condom if you're going to have sex with a zombie. Just wear a condom.
And that's what they put up to represent you on TMZ?
No, what they did represent me on TMZ was the guy go. It just cuts to me going, you can't get a zombie pregnant. But they didn't contextualize it at all, so I just look like an insane person ranting about zombies at the Grove.
Hey, Mario Lopez just works at the Grove, right? That whole extra TV show is just a cover, right?
Yeah.
Essentially, he just lives there, right?
There's a hand cream kiosk outside the Crate and Barrel.
That's what I thought.
And if you walk by, he'll caress your hands and make sure that your skin is soft and has revitalizing vitamins.
The reason Chris Hardwick is here and the reason he is making a rare in-town appearance is because he's signing a book tonight at Meltdown Comics. Meltdown Comics, 7522 West Sunset Boulevard. Very appropriate that the Nerdist book would be signed at a comic book store. You have been talking about writing this book for some time. It is finally here. It's out, available everywhere now, right?
It is available on all of the digital platforms and also in the physical world, if you still remember how to acquire things that way. We have a Nerdist comedy theater space in Meltdown Comics, so we're doing.
Yeah, you tape a lot of your podcasts.
We do a lot of podcasts there. There's stand-up shows there. We do panels and all sorts of fun stuff. And so I'm going to do a book signing there tonight with Will Wheaton, who's going to moderate the Q&A.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. That's a nerd explosion right there. Two of you together. Right?
A nerd explosion.
Tell me, when you started thinking, hey, I've got something to share, I want to write a book, you instantly pushed that to your back of the mind and thought, that's a stupid idea. A, it sounds like a lot of work, and B, no one cares what I have to say, right?
I still feel all of those things. yes, I think the book was really just an exercise, and it came out of a Wired article that I wrote, because I write for Wired magazine, and it was just the idea that we just live in this culture of, like, this religion of self-help. that a lot of secularists, such as some myself and my friends, that is our religion. Is just like productivity is our religion. And so I realized that I was such a screw up in my 20s. You probably remember me back in those days when I would kind of drunkenly come into the K-Rock studios.
And the good old days.
The good old days. Fun Chris Hardwick and fat Chris Hardwick. I always just say that was my fat brother Peter. People see old pictures of me like, no, that's my fat brother Peter. I don't know what you're talking about.
So is this book kind of a real life, hey, I wasted a few years just being an idiot, and yes. I was able to kind of pull myself up and do something that is not only successful and profitable, but is really enjoyable, and you can too? I mean, is it really literally a self-help book?
Essentially, yes, but it's also, the idea was that I sort of, I had to revert to the really kind of nerdy, pulpy centers of my brain in order to do that, and a lot of people think that the concept of being a nerd is like, well, you're reading DC or every uniform in the Star Trek verse. And it's not necessarily what you like, but it's how you like those things and how you obsess over things and how granular you get. And so, I just feel like nerds have the capacity to turn that focus on to sometimes constructive endeavors.
In other words, if you're a nerd, you're into things that are useful. That you can turn into a career
path. Could be, not necessarily.
they could be useful. I mean, the essential quality of nerddom, in my opinion, is that you have this drive to understand something more than any other living creature in the known universe.
Right.
A lot of times at the expense of any healthy social interaction or any, I'm still suffering a little bit now. I've been playing Skyrim for 7 weeks. And I
don't even know what that is, Chris.
It's the most awesome. Well, besides Portal 2, it's my favorite game of the last year.
Well, yeah, of course, Portal 2. Yeah. Portal 2. But Skyrim. What the hell is Skyrim?
It sounds like a filthy sexual act, it is in fact like.
Don't look at Lisa when you say that. It's very intimidating.
Hey, Lisa, do you want to get Skyrim?
You want to do Skyrim?
do you want to do Skyrim? I think there's clouds involved. It's basically just like a D&D type game for Xbox, PC.
What's the I know you had the typical, like our own Ralph Garman, you had the typical nerd upbringing where you had your clique of friends and everybody else made fun of you and hated you.
I had my clique of friend.
Yes. Aww,
and that's a pretty typical story. But then you grew up and you kind of had some early success in radio and, of course, on television with MTV.
Sure.
Was there a downfall, and was there a period of time where you were just a big fat loser and really had no direction, didn't know what you were going to do with your life after that?
I would call that my 20s. Yes, really? I would call that my 20s. Yeah, I mean, the MTV, the Singled Out show, was just sort of fell into my lap. And that wasn't really, I didn't have to work for that. I just got lucky. I was like a weird audition. Got it. Started working for MTV, and I think I just didn't really process. I didn't have a plan. I didn't really know what I was doing, and I just kind of wanted to get drunk and party all of the time.
But I mean, it's a little more interesting and sexy because it happened to be an MTV showbiz job. But I mean, what you're describing is typical of a lot of people in their 20s. Whatever their job is, it's not something they're committed to. It's not something they plan on doing for life. It just happens to be what they're wasting their time doing now. Mm-hmm. Very few people then think, hey, what am I going to do when I grow up, right?
Well, that's what happens. And the sucky thing is that the older you get, the faster time moves. I don't know if this is going to make any sense. It probably only makes sense to people who are starting to get older. But every year that I hear Once in a Lifetime by Talking Heads, the lyrics make a little more sense to me. Where you do kind of wake up and you go, what? Who am I? What am I doing? And so it's, the idea is like, hey, plan ahead. Write it down. Make a calendar. Pick some goals. Figure out who you are.
Did you ever have a low point where you were out of work and no prospects and broke?
Oh, my God. So many of them. It's shocking that I was able to do anything beyond that. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Singled Out was 95, I guess, to 97. And then there was a dip for a couple years. And then there was a dip for a couple more years. It really, yeah, there was a pretty big dip up until about 05 or 06. I guess.
Wow. 07. That's a lot of years of being adrift.
Yeah. Yep. Well, me and the other hobos would just hang around the trash can and warm our hands with tales of train hopping.
Chris Hardwick is here in studio on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're talking about his new book that is just called The Nerdist Way. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Nerdist Way. How to Reach the Next Level in Real Life. It is available digitally
and in some sort of old-fashioned paper.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Manifestation. I'm not sure what that is either, but apparently you can also see it that way. The signing is going to be tonight at Meltdown Comics, 7522 West Sunset Boulevard. And you can go on there at around 7:30?
7:30.
When we come back, Chris, would you mind, could we talk in broad strokes? I don't want to give away the plot, but can we talk in broad strokes? Maybe you could make some suggestions for people on how to do the nerdist way and improve their own lives?
I would enjoy that immensely.
Coming up next, right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, our friend Chris Hardwick, ex-K-Rock DJ Chris Hardwick. By the way, air checks, have you flown around, Chris, or do any of those exist in the ether?
106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. Top of the hour here. We're bringing in some of the Green Day. It's not a Green Day. It's a wet day out there. Am I right? Frank, honk.
See, and we wonder why he didn't last. Chris, of course, is the Nerdist. He has an actual real-life book out right now called The Nerdist Way, How to Reach the Next Level in Real Life. It looks like a very, very good read. You're going to be appearing with your friend Will Wheaton tonight. I can't say it like they do on The Family Guy. How do they do that?
Will Wheaton.
You guys are going to be tonight at Meltdown Comics, 7522 West Sunset Boulevard tonight at 7:30. You'll be signing copies of the book. By the way, he's interviewing you? He's doing a Q&A where he interviews you? Is that what's happening tonight?
I mean, essentially, yeah. Will and I have known each other for a couple of decades, and so we're just old friends, and so it's really just more of a loose chat, and we'll take questions from the audience and, you know, and that sort of thing.
Kevin Bean listener John writes in, here's a quick question for Chris. Interested in getting the book, how does he sign copies, electronic copies of the book?
You can get a page. I can sign it with my finger if you have some type of capacitive touchscreen, or I can sign the back of your Kindle, or I can lick it, and then you can put just tape over that. And there's a lot of different ways.
These are new first world problems that Ernest Hemingway didn't have to worry about. All right, give us a couple of tips that you have found that have gone over well with people of the Nerdist Way. You're saying that if you're a nerd like me, you already have some skills that you can use to turn your life around and get something going. What are some broad strokes you can share with us here today, Chris?
A natural ability to focus. I was a huge D&D guy, Dungeons and Dragons, and all the ladies just shut the radio off. But I'm kidding. They don't listen. But it was the idea is that in D&D you have a character sheet where you kind of break your character down into a series of attributes, and it's a very one dimensional approach. And you always kind of know what your character wants, and you kind of know how that character is going to react in certain situations. So I just tell people, like, make a character sheet of yourself. So few people see themselves from a third person point of view. That once you kind of have it, most people don't even know what they want or how they like things. And so you just, it just gets people asking the right questions about, well, what do I want and how do I see the world? And it gets them to graph that mathematically and sort of collect data about themselves.
So really, it's a tiny little homework assignment that if you actually spend a few minutes thinking about the big picture, you at least know what direction to go to make some of these things happen in your life that you think you'll enjoy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure everyone has friends or you are the friend who is miserable and you're like, I don't know, I just want something in life. And people go, what do you want? And you go, I don't know. It's like you have to answer those questions before, you know, like you have to be a scientist with your own life and collect as much data so then you can kind of parse that data out and manipulate it.
It's hard work to do what you do. I'm sure there are some people you run into who go, yeah, you're a podcaster. How's that a job? I don't think people realize. I mean, am I right? Do you get that reaction sometimes?
Yeah, but I mean, I think if you're doing with your life what you should be doing, it never feels like work. I mean, the podcast to me still doesn't feel like a job. I mean, it just feels like a fun thing that I do with my friends. So right. It doesn't feel like, oh, I got to go podcast. I'm like, I still get excited about it. So.
No, and it's one of the most popular podcasts in the world. And obviously, you've got 1.5 million followers on Twitter. You've got a lot of people who are interested in what you have to say. But I mean, I'm using you as an example because you wrote the book. But I think a lot of people don't like the idea that, hey, it's hard work to accomplish things. It's one thing to identify what it is you're looking for, but I don't think a lot of people are willing to put the kind of work into a career that you have, for instance, to actually make something of yourself. Don't you think most people, especially young people, are pretty lazy and kind of wanted to hand it to him?
Yeah, I guess that's true, especially in today's culture. Everyone just wants to be famous.
Right.
But I think, you know, there's a guy named David Allen who's sort of the father of, you know, of productivity, and he has this system called Getting Things Done, and he has this really great concept where, you know, like, for instance, if you're going to clean out your garage, you wouldn't just write down on your sheet of paper, clean out garage. Like, that's a large, he uses the word amorphous, a task that you don't know how to process. So it really, you have to break things down into simpler, more bite-sized tasks. Like, even, you know, even if it's dumb as, like, open door, get box, put thing in box, throw box away. Like, those are actionable tasks that you can accomplish each one. And then it doesn't seem as daunting when you break it down into steps.
Have you been getting feedback from people? Has anyone read the book? First of all, I know you sold a lot of copies. Has anyone actually read the book?
It seems apparent. It does seem that people have read the book.
And what are you hearing?
I'm hearing good things, which I was surprised because I just felt you feel douchey when you're writing a book about, well, here's how you do stuff, you guys. Because, you know, like, it's not like I know any more than anyone else. I just, like, I screwed up a lot. Here's what I did. Maybe this will work for you. And a lot of people seem to be identifying with it.
You are kind of, I mean, it's not an autobiography, but you certainly do share a bunch of stories from your own life. You had to feel a little bit like you were exposing yourself.
Completely.
You're really putting yourself out there for folks to make fun of. And you know how the nerds can make fun.
Well, they not only do they make fun, the nerds take great joy in building up and then also tearing down in very articulate ways. They will write dissertations on how much you suck if they don't like you.
But is it time for a Nerdist backlash? Are we almost at that point?
I'm sure. I am waiting for that to happen any second. I'm sure it will happen. That's just. That's seemingly how the world works.
The Nerdist Way, How to Reach the Next Level in Real Life. Sounds like a great read. And people can get it on Amazon. They can go to the Barnes & Noble. They can get it for their Kindle, whatever they want to do. Right, Chris?
all of those things, yeah.
Book signing is going to be tonight, 7:30, along with Will Wheaton. That is going to be at Meltdown Comics, 7522 West Sunset Boulevard. Brave the rain. Go see our friend Chris Hardwick. Get your book signed tonight. The website, of course, is Nerdist.com. Follow him on Twitter, @Nerdist. Good luck, my friend. Thanks for coming in.
I love you so much.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network was at the 49ers game yesterday. So he was, I'm sure he was stabbed or something on the way out of that city. That had to be a very disappointed crowd. We'll talk to him coming up in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, it's Monday. That means Harvey Levin, TMZ.com from the TMZ newsroom. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man? Oh, hello. Can't hear anything. Beer mug?
Oh, can you hear me now?
There you are.
There you go. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
You got to learn those buttons.
I know. It's Beer Mug, you know. He's a little developmentally challenged. Hey, I'm sure you guys talked about it in the meeting today, but Joe Paterno, you guys, you know, broke the story that he had passed away over the weekend. It was kind of bizarre the way it was announced. I mean, on Twitter that he was dead and then that he wasn't dead and then that he finally did die. That was kind of confusing, wasn't it?
It was confusing. I mean, I think what happened was people knew he was really, really sick. And, you know, my guess is that there were people in his town who probably saw hospice equipment or something like that. I'm just guessing here.
Yeah.
But that's usually the way it happens. And then somebody starts a rumor and boom, it goes on Twitter.
For folks who don't recognize the name, of course, he was a longtime coach of the Penn State football team. And a lot of discussion has come up right now because, you know, how different is the coverage of this and the way people are feeling if he had died 6 months ago instead of now, right?
Yo, I mean, look, if 6 months ago, this would have been my God, we've just lost one of the most beloved guys ever in football. But I think people are really conflicted now because the sense I get is that people want to really like him and that suddenly they've kind of pushed what happened a little bit to the side. I mean, I really do think when you look at the coverage that they've talked a lot about his record. Everybody mentions the molestation thing, but you notice that everybody's talking about his record. So, you know, I think, you know, who knows how it's going to go down in history. My guess, the way it's going to go down in history is he'll be the most winning coach, and that's the way he's going to be looked at.
Yeah,
I mean, people do tend to want to say nice things about somebody when they've just died, but man, there's still a lot of vitriol out there for him for looking the other way and not, you know, not standing up for what was really important, which was those kids and that program. And, you know, you're right. I mean, it really is kind of a sad. I bet he wishes he'd died 6 months ago before any of that came out.
Yeah, you know what? I actually thought about that, but I'm going to give you two names and just to show you how you can put things in perspective over time. Bill Clinton.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, Bill Clinton is the most beloved man in the Democratic Party. Would you have ever thought that in the middle of the whole Monica Lewinsky thing?
No, you're right. Okay.
And then Richard Nixon. I mean, Richard Nixon was thrown out of office,
right.
And yet historians are now talking about, you know, that he opened China, that he was actually a good president. And, you know, even Richard Nixon, you know, is getting, you know, his props.
He died an elder statesman, exactly. But you know what's so funny? I mean, time does heal all wounds, as they say. Look, Newt Gingrich just won a primary over the weekend. There was a time where he was the least popular politician in America a few years ago. I mean, you just have to stick it out.
Can I have 20 seconds to say something? And this is so off the topic, but since you mentioned Newt Gingrich, I got to tell you, Newt Gingrich has got to love John King from CNN.
Because absolutely.
John King single-handedly propelled him possibly to the top of the heap. It's unbelievable how awful CNN looked in this thing when they said, oh, we didn't run it first. Gingrich just attacked, and people loved it, and even women voted for him. And it's just, you know, he has got to love John King.
No, he's very, very smart, and he knows that particularly with his Republican base, in particular, they are suspicious of the media, and they believe that the media are biased against their people, and Newt is able to look like a victim rather than talk about what actually happened, which is, hey, I went to my wife and said, hey, can I cheat on you? I mean, it was brilliantly played. Look, he's a really smart politician. That's why he's still in this thing.
Best debater in the whole bunch of them, but I mean, John King just threw him a softball. I mean, rarely do they give that kind of an opening, and I don't even think John King knew what he was doing. I think he was so uncomfortable and didn't want to own the story that he just literally laid himself down in front of a freight train.
No, it was awesome television, too. This is the voice of our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com here on the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Let's turn our attention to some celebrities. This could not have shocked me more to see the story that the beautiful Heidi Klum and Seal, who by all accounts, in my mind anyway, have had one of the long-lasting, rock-solid marriages in Hollywood. What went wrong, Harvey?
Well, I mean, look, we broke this early, early Saturday morning, and I can tell you that she, you know, this is all her. And a lot of this has to do with his temper, that the way this was described to us, and we've kind of been right on the money in this story, is that it is volcanic.
Really?
And she couldn't handle it anymore. But the other thing is that their careers have really gone off in different directions. I mean, she is now this, you know, titan in business. And he's kind of doing the same thing. And, you know, he's got an album coming out this week for sure, but they have just grown. I mean, they say it in their statement that they've grown apart, but that is true. But I will tell you, the temper issue is a huge issue, and it had nothing to do with the third person in this.
That's interesting. You know, you don't see Seal interviewed very often. Heidi is on television a lot because she's always involved in various, you know, premieres and her own show and everything like that. And she always speaks in such loving terms and talks about how happy they are and how great their kids are. And, I mean, the message to the outside world has always been, we're fine.
This did not happen on a dime. I mean, this has been a long time in coming. I can just tell you, this is not, I mean, well, you know the way that works with celebrities when they go out in public. I mean, how many times have you seen this where they look so happy? They're, you know, Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman, where they look so happy in public and then boom.
Right. Now, Seal, even though he's famous, because of the face, he's going to have a hard time replacing Heidi Klum with anybody even close to that class, right?
I think he'll be fine, Bean.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you think, Harvey? Is he going to get someone as hot as Heidi Klum, or is that the best he'll ever do?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to think of the analogy here. I can give you a good analogy. Tom Brady, what was the volleyball player?
Gabrielle, that one?
The Monahan or the
oh, Bridget Moynihan.
Player. Bridget Moynihan.
Yes.
Yes.
She's beautiful.
Yep.
Yes.
And then everybody's saying, God, what is he doing? And then he gets Gisele Bündchen.
Right, but Tom Brady is a great-looking guy who's also the quarterback for the Patriots. I'm saying Seal is a C-level singer who's got a face that looks like he ran into an IED. I mean, I'm just saying Heidi Klum is the best he'll ever do, right? He's never going to come anywhere close to that.
Okay, then I'll keep going. David Spade gets more hot women than just about any star in Hollywood.
Which is just shocking.
Rohypnol, Harvey, is what's going on there. Rohypnol. Come on, man. You should know that. You're TMZ.com. Oh, no. TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. Check your local listings for TMZ television when in Hollywood. Take your friends and relatives on the TMZ tour as well. Harvey, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Harvey.
Gautier, featuring Kimbra. Those are words that a grown American should never be saying, but those are the people behind that song, somebody that I used to know here on the world-famous K-Rock.
I love Dick Gautier. Remember Dick Gautier?
Barely.
He was. Oh, I love Dick name Gaudier. Sounds familiar. Who was he?
Dick Gautier was a character actor throughout the 60s and 70s. Worked all the time. I think he's still around, actually. But a real good actor. Real handsome guy, but all did a lot of comedy. He was in Get Smart. He played Jaime the Robot in Get Smart.
Oh, I remember Jaime. Sure, yeah.
And he was in that Mel Brooks series When Things Were Rotten about Robin Hood. And he did a lot of funny comedy stuff. Very interesting.
Ralph knows actors the rest of us don't.
Dick Gautier is cool.
Time for the showbiz
meet now. Dick Gautier is cool.
And then Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us to talk about the football from yesterday. What's going on with you, Ralph?
I'm just See, you're the guy that I don't talk about the Adam West thing being podcasted with, because I could tell in your voice when we had that conversation off air that you wouldn't come see it now.
Of course not.
No,
Bean asked me this that evening with Adam West that you're doing on Saturday night. Is it going to be podcast? And
a lot of people have been
asking that, but I've been not talking about that because my fear is if people find out that it's going to be a podcast, then the cyber geeks like Bean will just not show up.
Oh.
And we want people to be there in the theater to see the event.
I am not lying when I tell you that I am so excited about this evening with Adam West that I would be there in person if it were within 1,000 miles of my house.
You will travel 800 miles for a haircut.
I know.
That's a good point.
That's a different subject.
You go to other states to get haircuts.
I'm saying I love Adam West, and I think you're going to do a fantastic job.
So come on down Saturday night and see the show.
I'm not going to reserve a seat for you. No, I'm not going to fly down to see the show, but I'm saying I'd very much like to hear it or see it, and if it's available, I'll be happy to pay for it if that's what's needed. I don't want to miss this. I don't know that I've ever seen it.
You want to miss it, yet you're planning on missing it.
Because Adam West is way more than Batman, my friends. He's had an unbelievable career for the last 50 plus years.
He's Mayor Adam West of Quahog, Rhode Island, and Family Guy. He's worked with everyone from the Three Stooges to almost every actor you can imagine. Had a TV series with Robert Taylor, legendary movie actor. I mean, the guy has been around for 50 years in this business. He's got a lot of good stories.
How and where can people see this in person if they're in town?
Go to AdamWestStar.com. AdamWestStar.com is where the link where you can get tickets for the show. You can donate to paying for his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame if you want. You can see the trailer for the new movie they're making about him, the documentary. So that's the best place to go. Goes to another state to get his haircut. Won't come to see me.
Yeah.
Haircuts across America. I don't want to travel for silly things.
Oh, where's that pecan again? Where's that giant pecan? Time to book my vacation plans.
I'm just saying.
You will travel 120 miles round trip to see a cement pecan.
Yes, I will.
God, this is why everyone hates you.
I wasn't aware of that.
Very, very thing. Congratulations to Elizabeth Smart, who's now a TV commentator on ABC News. She's 24 years old now. Now, the name may sound familiar to you. She was the girl who was kidnapped when she was 14.
Yeah.
Held against her will for 9 months by a guy named Brian David Mitchell. Then she was freed when she was spotted by some passerbyers. But just a horrible, horrible story. And she seems to have bounced back better than others. A lot of people would just be damaged goods for life if this happened to them.
Yeah, she seems all right.
But she announced this weekend that she is getting married. She's marrying her boyfriend, so congratulations to Elizabeth Smart. It is Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, the vampires and the lycans were able to put aside their differences in order to go to the movies together. Underworld Awakening, in its debut, made over $25 million, making it number one, starring the lovely Kate Beckinsale. Red Tails, the story of the Tuskegee Airmen, the African-American fighter pilots from World War II, $19 million. I have not a chance to see Red Tails, but I understand it is like an old-school John Wayne-type patriotic World War II movie. Everyone is saying very good things about it. Contraband was third, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close was fourth. Haywire came in at number five. Beauty and the Beast in 3D was sixth. A Joyful Noise. Really, people? Still going to see the choir movie with Queen Latifah and Dolly Parton, are you? Who's going to see that?
I don't know.
Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol was eighth. Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, and The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo rounded out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Kobe Bryant's wife, Vanessa, according to our friends over there at TMZ, will be getting all three of the Bryant's houses in upscale Newport Beach, California.
Now,
why do you need three houses in Newport Beach?
Do they rent out to?
Maybe they do. I don't know.
And where's he going to live? Do they have another house somewhere else that he's staying in?
Locker room at the Staples Center.
Very sad. He's got a cot.
He's got a cot, yeah. Let's see. One of the houses is their current home. Another one is one they've been building. And a third one is the house where Vanessa's mother lives.
Oh, okay.
So they literally have three houses.
Gotcha.
Wow. And she gets them all.
Wow.
Amazing.
And she'll probably get something to the tune of $75 million in cash. That's a pretty good tune.
If you can live on that.
I could whistle that tune for a while.
Hey, she brought a lot of titles to Los Angeles. She was the series MVP all those years.
I'm willing to be her boy toy. That's what
yes,
Venus
I am.
Right
yes,
now.
I am.
She's pretty hot, that Vanessa.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Richard Dean Anderson. He was MacGyver on the TV series MacGyver, 62 years old today. I think he got his start on General Hospital, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
I think he was one of those soap opera guys.
Did he know Dick Gaudier? Did they work together?
I don't know if he worked with Dick Gaudier or not. Mayor Anthony, Antonio Villaraigosa is 59 years old today. Singer Nita Baker turns 54. Mariska Hargitay from Law & Order, SVU, is 48 years old. Boy, she looks great for 48. Tiffany Thiessen is 38. She's on White Collar, one of my favorite TV shows. Nick Harmer of Death Cab for Cutie is 37. And UFC fighter Tito Ortiz celebrates his 37th birthday today. Nothing, really?
Close.
I gave him a big hole. I gave a big donut hole. I figured he would put it in there. You know?
Look, excuse me? We don't talk like that on the show anymore, Ralph.
No, I gave you a big space, a big gap for you to put your audio. I figured you would take advantage of that instead of just running roughshod over the end of my report like last hour. I was trying.
But the emotion, too much for Tito.
There we go. Now, see, that's cooperation. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You know, I used to live in Baltimore, Lisa. I think I told you that before. Mm-hmm. And here's one thing I know about the mean streets of Baltimore. Billy Cundiff is not sleeping in his own house right now, and he is not starting his own car as a result of this that you may have seen on your television yesterday.
Here comes Billy Cundiff, the tie of this game, and in all likelihood sent it to overtime. The last 2 years, 16 of 16 in the fourth quarter on field goals. 32 yards to tie it. And the kick, look out! Look out! It's no good! It's no good!
Yeah, I felt so bad for him.
From NFL Total Access Monday through Thursdays on the NFL Network and, of course, during the season, DirecTV's Red Zone channel, it is Andrew Siciliano joining us on the phone right now. Andrew, how are you, man?
I am back, and I am not yet dried out from standing at Candlestick yesterday in the rain for 7 hours, but I'm great.
I can't wait to get to that game. We will in a minute because I know that you were there and that's very, very exciting. But dude, what went wrong with Billy Cundiff? What happened there? How does that happen? I mean, that's something that a guy like him who's as good as he is on a team like that can do in his sleep.
His name will go down for better or for worse on the long list of guys who blew it with the biggest game on the line. That Billy Cundiff to the list with Scott Norwood for the Bills in the Super Bowl years ago against the Giants. Granted, this was to go to overtime, not go to the Super Bowl, but you can't miss that kick.
He
hooked it. You know, the funny thing is, too, is so I'm watching it, as I said, at the Niners game, a Candlestick, like in a bar, so we're covered up. I have it on my radio in my ear, and the radio is about 3 to 4 seconds ahead of the television. So I knew he missed it. And I just didn't look at the screen. I just looked at the room to watch the reactions on everyone's face. And everyone there was rooting for the Ravens because all the Niners fans wanted to see the brothers Harbaugh face each other in the Super Bowl. So it was a Ravens room. Everyone was rooting against the deity that is Tom Brady and rooting for the Ravens coach, and the looks on their faces were just ridiculous.
I'm sure. And by the way, that was another unbelievable storyline yesterday, is to have these two brothers both playing the league championship games, both having the potential to go to the Super Bowl and face one another, and neither one of them made it. Can you imagine how sad that whole family was last night?
Well, their parents chose to not go to either game. They stayed at home. They thought of, like, mom goes to one game, dad goes to the other, or maybe they flip a coin and go to one and not the other. They chose to stay at home and watch it on TV, or watch them both on TV, and they probably were better suited doing that.
Well, I got to tell you, that Patriots-Ravens game was a great game for great defenses. I mean, it certainly could have gone either way. Do you think that Lee Evans, who fumbled that what should have been a touchdown that should have given the Ravens the win earlier in the game, is he now off the hook because of what happened with his kicker? People aren't really talking about him right now, right?
No, they're not. And I give Sterling Moore the defensive back credit. He actually got his hand in there to rip it out, but you're right. Lee Evans had a shot of holding onto that ball, but I mean, it goes deeper than that too. B, go back and look at the previous possession. You know, if Harbaugh had elected a 50-yard field goal, granted, it would have been a long field goal. He had at least a shot of getting those three on the board earlier.
Then
maybe that field goal would have been to win the game and not send it to overtime. So I never understood that decision, and I'll be honest with you, I did not hear much post-game. As I said, I was at the other game,
And then I just flew back this morning at 6 a.m., so I'm kind of out of touch as to what they said afterwards. But, I mean, to me, I would have tried the 50-yard field goal there, wind or no wind.
Let's turn our attention now to the game that you were at in person, the NFC Championship game. Here's how that one ended, Giants 49ers.
The 47-yarder to win it after missing at the end of regulation and missing twice in the fourth quarter. And now from 31 yards out, he'll try to send the Giants to Super Bowl 46. Low snap. The kick is good. And the Giants are going back to the Super Bowl.
Now, if there was a goat in that game, it would have been Kyle Williams, who's the punt return guy who had that ball stripped away, and he couldn't have felt any worse about that. What is that like for a guy like that when you screw up that late in the game? I mean, how do you even look your teammates in the eye, Andrew?
Well, he did it twice. He had one earlier in the game, too, so it wasn't only just that one. That was the second one. And after the first one, everyone's looking to take the ball away, and you can see he's antsy. And he fielded that last one cleanly. He took another
right.
You got to know that they're there to take the ball away. And let me tell you, that place was loud. It was freezing. It was pouring rain all day. Those are amazing fans to sit through that horrible weather and do so with as much energy and enthusiasm. And I have never seen a place fall that silent that quickly after making that much noise for so long. In horrible conditions. I'm not a Niners fan. I'm not a Giants fan. The people sitting next to me, they kept saying, why are you here? I said, because I want to see the game. They said, but why would you sit in this crap if you're not a fan of either team? Because I wanted to see the game. But I felt so bad for these people. And again, I wasn't rooting for the Niners, but I felt so horrible when he dropped the ball because it just, I've had my team, the team I grew up rooting for, which is the Cleveland Browns, get that close and fumble it away, whether it was Ernest Byner in 87 or the drive, you know, with John Elway in 86, when you're that close and to realize all the emotion you put into rooting for your team for the last 5 months is all just gone. It happened.
Yeah. Yeah, you hate to have it end like that. And the 49ers have had, by all accounts, a magical season. I mean, they've given that city an awful lot to cheer about. It had been a long time since that was the case in football. But, man, what an unbelievable. I mean, we are so close. We could easily be talking about a 49ers-Ravens Super Bowl right now. I mean, both games were so close.
And that's, I mean, look, is that not what you want? You want the final 14 going into overtime. I mean, my girlfriend looks at me and said, we're not staying for overtime, are we? I said, there's no way in hell we're leaving now. Are you kidding me? Do you think we've sat through the rain this long to turn around? What, are you kidding me? No, this is history here. But you had the sudden death overtime. What more can you ask for? And then at the end, you get the rematch. Think about it. You get the rematch of what some people consider to be the greatest Super Bowl ever played.
So, 4 years ago, 2008, right? Yeah. This is the voice of Andrew Siciliano here on the Kevin and Bean Show, NFL Total Access. I know that we'll talk to you again before the big game, Andrew, but you have been a very loud proponent of giving Eli Manning his due, and a lot of people, for whatever reason, don't. This guy is one of the all-time great quarterbacks, and he showed that yesterday with how he kept getting back up off the ground, didn't he?
They hammered him. I mean, if you look at the defensive numbers, if you had told me that Eli would have been sacked, I think it was 6 times, he would have thrown the ball over 60 times, 60 times, I would have told you one of two things. One, it truly was pouring rain the entire day, and they couldn't get a run game going. And number two, that there's no way they would have won that game. There's just no way. And here's another stat, too, that people don't realize. People say, well, he's a good quarterback, but, you know, I take other guys in the clutch. Eli Manning threw 15 fourth-quarter touchdown passes this year. They led the NFL. That's absurd. So not only did he win games, he came through in the clutch. And I'm not ready to put him in the Hall of Fame, but he's now going back to the Super Bowl. Peyton has gone to 2. Peyton's 1-1. If Eli wins this one, he'll be 2-0. And again, I'm not putting him in Canton, Ohio yet, but he just had a 5,000-yard season, and he's going to his second Super Bowl. Now, that's pretty darn impressive. And yeah. Look, he's got a funny look on his face, and he'll always be Peyton Manning's little brother. But, you know, he's a pretty damn good quarterback.
Andrew and his colleagues will have a lot more to say this afternoon. NFL Total Access, 4 o'clock, NFL Network. Welcome home, man. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Andrew.
Would you please teach people how to drive here in the rain?
Good luck with that. One more showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. Ralph Garman steps in. What's going on? Hey, how's your feud going with Dave Hester from Storage Wars?
There's going to be throwing down.
Is there?
Yeah.
You can settle in the ring?
He keeps tweeting that I'm afraid of him. He's putting out there in the Twitterverse and I'm afraid of him. And that will not stand.
Are you?
Oh, a little bit. No, not at all. He invited me down to the Orange County swap meet, I guess it was, this weekend. He was apparently signing autographs and selling T-shirts and stuff. And he said, come down here, unless you're afraid of me.
Why do you want to go to Orange County to the swap meet?
Swap meet. I bet they have cool stuff there, though.
Yeah, but he buys it all. That's the problem.
That's the problem. He doesn't let me buy any. Every time I've got the bid, he goes,
yep.
Stands right in the way. It's Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, shall we? Underworld Awakening, number one, $25.4 million made it. So, Red Tails, story of the Tuskegee Airmen, the World War II African-American fighter pilots, $19.1 million. Good for them. And by them, I mean the people who put out Red Tails, because it is wholly financed by George Lucas. Spent all the money to develop it, film it, and even to get the prints made of the film. All George Lucas's money, so he stands to gain or lose a lot, depending on how this does.
It's unbelievable. Look, I know everyone in Hollywood is there to make money. I get that. I get the risk management. But if George Lucas, who a guy who knows something about making successful movies from, you know, American Graffiti on, if he comes to you and says, I think this will work, guys, why not roll the dice and go, hey, you know what you're talking about?
Because the studios say black teens won't go see a movie about World War II. They don't care about that. To which Lucas said, I think I beg to differ. I think they'd be very interested to hear about the blacks who fought in World War II. Right. It turns out he was right. And they were wrong. Contraband. Number three. Look, if they'll go see Madea, they'll go see fighter pilots. You know what I'm saying? You know what,
I hope.
Are you people with me when it comes to the black audience? I think they deserve good quality movies instead of the pap that Tyler Perry's been feeding them.
Right.
Come on now. You know, Spike Lee said he wants to direct the sequel to Red Tails. They're planning on making another one. Spike Lee's on board.
Oh, really?
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Contraband, number three at the box office. Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close was fourth. Haywire, Gina Carano stars as a former CIA operative. Only made $9 million in his debut weekend. Beauty and the Beast, 3D, was number six. A Joyful Noise was seventh. Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, and The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Mark Anthony's getting a little body work done. Oh, no, not that facial reconstruction he so desperately needs. It's getting his tattoo of his ex-wife's name, Jennifer, on his wrist, covered up with additional art. That's the thing when you get a tattoo of someone's name. Either you have to get it removed, like Eva Longoria did when she had 9 removed from the back of her neck.
Right.
Because that was Tony Parker's jersey number. Or you have to cover it up. And so Mark Anthony got the Statue of Liberty inked over his Jennifer on his right wrist. How big's the Jennifer?
Yeah.
He had to get the entire Statue of Liberty on there. The word is the body artist to celebrate his freedom from the yokes of tyranny.
Poor baby.
From being married to smoking hot Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Jennifer Lopez's buddy Steven Tyler, he was at the Patriots game.
Sitting in the owner's box, to Mr. Kraft.
Singing the national anthem. I think he was a little pitchy, dog.
Yeah.
Here's a little taste.
Oh, can you see by the dawn's early light?
Okay, that's good. I think we got it.
Let's just say,
no love in an elevator, I'll tell you that much.
Let's just say that he would not be put through to Hollywood, I'll tell you that, if he were auditioning.
So. Yeah. Andy Dick had a bad weekend. Told you last week he roughed up a tourist here in Southern California who tried to take his picture. Well, apparently he got into a verbal argument at a bar last week as well. Argument with somebody, he got thrown out of the bar, moved to a different bar, showed up at that bar, saw an attractive woman there, broke into tears and started trying to grab her and hug her. No word on whether the pity me approach actually worked, but he was spotted later hitching on Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, my guess is it didn't work.
Hitchhiking on Sunset Boulevard.
Would you pick Andy Dick out if you saw him hitchhiking on Sunset
Yes,
Boulevard?
I would.
I'd have to, just to
yes,
see
I
what,
would.
What state he was in.
I need that story. Give me that Andy Dick story.
Yep. Look, I'm glad he didn't drive, but don't you think at this point a judge should sentence him to be chained to Dr. Drew?
Really? Before Dr. Drew moves on from celebrity rehab, before he puts that behind him, I think he's got one little bit of unfinished business. Mm-hmm. He has
with just Andy Dick, he'd be the only person in celebrity rehab.
Yeah. And this won't come as a surprise, but several production studios are now bidding on the rights to the story of the Costa Concordia.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Pretty dramatic.
Yeah, they want to make a movie out of the fact that that captain crashed. Captain Coward. Schettino crashed his boat and then ditched everybody as they were going down in the water. Discovery Channel already has a special in the works for this spring, which will attempt to answer the questions like, why did he wreck the boat and then evacuate the ship and more? So that'll be the documentary. But now they want to do a fictional version as well. So people bidding on the rights to that story. He was an asshole.
I heard, and I don't know if this is true, but I heard, no joke, that he ordered dinner from the restaurant to be brought to where he was piloting after the crash happened. He ordered dinner, was eating before he left to jump into the lifeboat.
What
not
is
a joke.
This guy's deal?
He did not take captaining a ship seriously.
I don't believe he
like.
Did. Today's celebrity birthdays. He was like Captain Crunch or Captain Kangaroo. He's like one of those captains, not a real captain. Richard Dean Anderson MacGyver, 62 years old today. The mayor of Los Angeles, Antonio Villaraigosa, is 59. Mariska Hargitay turns 48. Tiffany Thiessen from Saved by the Bell and White Collars, 38. Nick Harmer of Death Cab for Cuties, 37. And Tito Ortiz, UFC fighter, turns 37 as well.
Escúchame, mijo y mija. This is Tiro. No, the number is 105-106-7. To call to talk to the Baker boys right now. Okay, mírame.
You're a different Tito. You're not Tito Ortiz. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. I know you are very excited about tomorrow's all-new
Kennedy
show.
Yep. Oh, cannot wait. One of my favorite shows on television by far is Southland.
Are we into season three now?
First season we had on NBC, the truncated bad first season where they screwed with is the fourth season? Wow, is it four already? And then they went from the NBC to TNT. TNT rescued the show, and it's better on TNT than it was on NBC. And now we're going into our fourth season. I can't believe it's so good.
Well, the stars of the show, Michael Cudlitz and Ben McKenzie.
I'm surprised they're going to be here together because they don't like each other anymore.
What? What are you talking about?
They don't like each other anymore.
Yeah, things.
That's just on the show.
No,
there's some tension on the show.
Cudlitz
the actors themselves
rehab,
are fine.
And then Ben wouldn't even talk to him barely when they saw each other again at work.
Actors are fine. Also, the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices on the program tomorrow. We are trying to get it. Well, I don't want to spoil it.
What?
About that. Well, I was going to tease something, but it's not 100% confirmed. I don't want to make this person look bad if they're not able to come in tomorrow, but I hope they will.
Then just
hope they will.
Keep mumbling.
And also, thanks to the kicker for Baltimore who had one job to do, and that was to kick a relatively easy field goal to
go
to overtime.
Cundiff. Good old Billy Cundiff.
Thanks to him, the King of Mexico had a great suggestion of a phone topic: how you let the whole world down on tomorrow's all new Kevin and Bean show.
How did you fail others the most?
You were in a situation where you had something that you were expected to do, and then you didn't. How'd that work out for you? That should be a lot of fun.
You
that
were
should
supposed
be a...
to bring the wedding cake.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
I dropped it. Sorry.
That is going to be a whole lot of fail, and that, as usual, is going to be on tomorrow's All New Kevin and Bean.